Our name is the RRR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Season 6, episode 5.
Tamari never dies.
I knew it.
Am I predictable now?
No.
I was going to do it next week, but then he stayed dead, sort of.
I felt it.
He was in sleep mode. But I just couldn't wait. I was like, I knew another Tamari pun was going to happen, so.
I like it. Good call.
Yep. Finally.
Farisol was here, it would be like, why this? To be fair, he said that every time I said hello, but still.
I'm the opposite. I'm just going, more puns, more.
George is enabler.
So George is here because we're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and because George is fun.
And we really just wanted to see if we could invite someone to be on live and see if they would show up. Turns out it works. Something like, just inform them you're going to be here next week.
I know it. I totally was just like, oh shit, I know we're putting the car into the, we put it in the shop, and I was like, oh,
we put the car in the place where you put the car.
Yeah.
And,
you know, that place, it's like a box for cars. But until the fourth sequel, which is going to be Riders, Rangers, and Teen Wolf at some point. If we box that boy the whole world into watching Teen Wolf.
Man, that TV is so interesting.
Is it really that loud? I'm not even near it. How about now?
Okay.
It's tolerable now. You're good.
No one's even talking. They're eating burgers. They're doing that commercial now for Carl's Jr. where they have a hot dog and chips on the sandwich, which pretty much proves that Carl's Jr. is Paunch Burger.
Okay, one-ups.
Paunch? Brian's abandoning me next week during E3.
Yeah, I am, because I'm an awful person and agreed to a vacation before I knew the dates.
Always check for E3, man.
Like, I checked after, and it was a disaster.
What if you're going to E3? What if Brian is doing the conferences? What if he's replacing Aisha Tyler for Ubisoft?
That'd be fun. I could go on there and, like, talk about, woman, whatever the hell it was.
You guys are both really good at remembering things today. Go on there and talk about
what
woman.
The hell did she go up there and talk about? Like, woman jizz or something? I don't know. She's a strange person.
Oh, God.
Strange, strange woman. But, anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, there's something. I fucking bought something. What did I buy? I don't have a blog thing to do anymore. Now I'm looking around the room. Imagine
about.
X. I might have bought those after the podcast last week. I don't remember exactly. But I have all of them except the big Megazord because $60 scares me.
Oh.
I want it, though.
Pretty impressive looking.
Yeah, other than that, like, nothing. He's waiting for money, and I'm like, yeah, I'll get it eventually. I bought the Shift Tridron, but that's sitting at HLJ waiting for Surfer Mario to get here.
Surf his way in.
Next weekend, I think. But yeah, like, life's fucking boring, man. I don't know. Played video games. I've recorded a lot this week because I have to record like an entire 2 weeks worth of videos. Because one for this week and then a set for next week. So I'm like going, oh my god, and then I'm like tumbling over words. I'm like Dawson all the time.
And that was your editing when you rewind it. It just makes me laugh every time.
But yeah, I don't got a whole lot. Oh, I bought an Imagine X Green Arrow because I thought it was cute.
Oh, I knew there was something Arrow related.
That was the big thing this week.
Where's the Flash?
They didn't have any.
Next like, Diggle.
I want an Imagine X Flash, and I'm gonna look around for anything that could be used as an Imagine X Diggle.
Just Imagine X Black Youth. This is Diggle from, like, what they do, like, Looney Tunes babies, but with Diggle.
I should do that. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Hashtag quest for black youth.
I did want a Flash, but I couldn't find... I haven't found any Flash Imagine X figures, and I'm like, what are you doing with your life?
You have Power Rangers, but no Flash.
The fucking Green Arrow doesn't even come with a goddamn arrow. Or I mean, like a bow, rather.
Because the arrows are too violent for kids.
Well, he doesn't come with a weapon. He comes with this big turret thing.
For some reason, I'm going to say turd.
Me too.
Give me that around. Big turd.
His name's Ra's al Ghul. It's a really
cheap. There's a set somewhere that has a Ra's al Ghul in it. I was like, I should get this.
He just looks like a little rat face.
Just Shred or a Splinter repainted. Flesh tone splitter.
That just looks like a really disturbed grown up Rufus from Kim Possible.
So he can hold one of the missiles from the turret.
That's gonna be season 4 missiles. He's just gonna shoot missiles in his arrows.
I can pretend, I guess.
It's gonna be super hardcore. Felicity's just off building a missile. That's what they're doing. Not a euphemism. She's just building him missiles. Like, literally.
I'm still trying to figure out what toys to bring on my trip. Because that's an important thing to decide.
The most important thing.
I might bring Imagine X Oliver Queen.
You should go get the big Megazord and bring it, and then keep it in like a baby Bjorn. I'm still mad that like they didn't come up with a giant version of Robo Knight so I could take him around. I had so many plans, like sitting in my car seat, going through drive-thrus, like baby Bjorn thing, just skipping in fields. I don't know. It was gonna be weak.
Perfect.
Robo Knight music videos.
I will remember you.
Oh god, the animals. Quick, give me the starving children. They're way funnier. It's like, well, we don't have food. And I'm like, look, I'm eating this hamburger right now and you can't do it.
Anyway, that's it for me, so.
Okay. So I finished Dollhouse. And it was really, 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 really good. And I highly recommend it. There's only 26 episodes. It won't take up that much time. And it's just a really good show. I finished Halo 3, which was also pretty good. Like, I only have ever played each Halo game once, like, a long time ago. So this has been, like, a huge refresher. And I think out of all the Master Chief-centered Halos, I think 3 might be my favorite. Mainly because, like, you have a lot more, like, different locations. I feel like after the first quarter of 1 and 2, you were mostly in, like, really dark, like, metal buildings and Covenant ships and intestines and stuff. And I feel like you were just outside in different environments more, except for that level where you're in an intestine in Halo 3. And, like, the last level...
Intestines, the ship.
It was so annoying. I remember that level from my first playthrough, and I remember being so frustrated I just ran. Like, I just jumped and ran and, like, sped ran through it because I didn't want to fight anybody. And, like, that's sort of how I did part of the very last level where you have to fight, like, all those Flood outside that building and they keep, like, dropping down in meteors. I kept dying because the Flood kept landing on me. And I got so frustrated I, like, anger finished the level without realizing it. Like, I all of a sudden picked up, like, this rocket, like, Covenant thing and it was just like, ah! And, like, all of a sudden before I knew it, everyone was dead. I'm like, oh, shit, that worked. But that was really fun, and now I just started ODST. I'm just a couple levels in, and I really like that game a lot. It's just got such a different tone and mood from the other games, and Nathan Fillion's in it, so that's always cool. Let's see, anything else? I don't think I really bought much. Oh, I bought, which I can't remember. How do you pronounce the big golden mech from Tokyo Drift? Theo?
Teo.
Teo. Oh, it's like people think their name is Teo, and it's like, no, your name is Theo. You just think you're fancy. Okay. I bought that because it was like $62 on Amazon. I haven't really been paying that much attention to other places, but by the time you pay shipping at like Mandarake or something, it wasn't that bad. And
yeah,
so I decided just to like finish it. So then I was done with Tokyo Drift, and it's just like standing up a brick and then flattening out a brick and standing it up again. And it's just really boring, but I'm at least done with Tokyo Drift. So I bought that, and I think that's it. I finished Halo. It's just been like all about Halo. Like, I hope by the time I'm done with ODST, I'm also they remaster Reach to like, but I have so many other games I need to play. Like, I've spent all these hours playing games I've already played before, but I'm like super fresh for Halo 5. Like, the hype for Halo 5 is real now. I'm like really excited. I think that's pretty much it. I was gonna play co-op with Brian, but now I have to cry instead. Just let's co-op between conferences. No, I'll just sit here. I'll just guilt him about it next week.
Your guilt won't phase me.
True. The guilt never works on me. I rarely feel bad about anything. Okay, your turn.
Okay, I've got a pool tube that looks like a big wheel, and I keep putting it around my chest like I'm dry. That's about the highlight of my week. Oh, and I got my Deer Zord from Wild Force.
Morphin Legacy! Quick, get him!
My baby first.
Georgie gave birth to it. Not many
I was opening the package, and I cried. I legitimately started crying. I've been waiting for this since 2002.
Holy crap, that eBay seller is going to get some shitty feedback. Damn, that is some slow shipping. What, did he send it to Japan and then have him sell it? Like, what the hell?
And Japan then I had that. A clock explode.
Oh god, you broke time. Reverse Flash just visited you when it broke the clock.
I went to, like, put a new battery in my clock, and I tried to take the battery out, the old one, and it... Like, the whole entire mechanism just exploded, and, like, battery acid fell on the floor and stained the linoleum a little bit.
8 through 3 floors. It turned inside out, and then it exploded.
But that's about it for me.
We all lead such just thrilling lives. It's like
I've been swimming a lot. Stuff. I'm like a freaking dolphin in the summer. I spend more time in the pool than I do with humans.
That was me when I lived with my parents.
Ugh. I fucking love swimming.
Now I don't ever swim and I'm sad.
Oh. I can't swim, so I would die if I tried it. So you're a loser. Wait a second. Somebody needs to take me there.
So?
So now it's time for, we actually have some news to talk about this week.
Do we?
We have some news, and then we have some making fun of people for thinking the news is not really news.
The biggest piece of news is obviously the movie logo.
Oh, that was huge. It laid out the entire plan for their entire Power Rangers cinematic universe, which is gonna explode. They're planning on a Ernie spinoff movie in a similar vein to the Aunt May movie. You can't do it like the S really tells the story of the Ernie spinoff movie.
My favorite cinematic universe is the Land Before Time cinematic universe.
Oh, that's an It's second only to the Knocked Up one that we talked about.
My favorite superhero.
They really expanded it with This Is 40, like, they really brought it all home. And it ties together, because Megan Fox ties together the Transformers, Ninja Turtles, and Knocked Up Cinematic Universes.
It's all connected.
It really is. Somehow by Megan Fox. yeah, that wasn't even really... And it wasn't even a poster, it was like a curtain. It was like cloth.
I know. It was like a picture. It was like a square picture. I'm like, that's not a poster.
And, like, within seconds, everyone's, like, movie poster revealed, discuss your thoughts on it. I'm like, I wouldn't even know where to start. I feel like this was an impossible school assignment to give thoughts on a logo that already existed.
It's just like a temporary logo. It isn't even the thing. It's the basic brand logo. And then it just says coming in 2017.
Like, hey, we're still working on this. I know we forgot to cast people for a while. But I think we realized we need to cast a film. Like, I legitimately think they showed up to set one day and were ready. All the sets are already built. They sat down in their chairs and like, oh, fuck, we forgot to cast anybody. I knew we were forgetting something.
Wait a minute.
Something's wrong here.
Shit.
So, that was the top news, non-news story of the week.
It was. Nothing will beat that.
Followed by Jessica Jones is no longer AKA Jessica Jones. It's Jessica Jones.
She is known by no other names anymore.
I'm still just going to call it Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 that vomited herself to death. That's what I'm going to call it. That's just going to be me.
She's not Aka Jessica Jones. She's Aka Red Jessica Jones.
She doesn't like the color red anymore.
The bee from Apartment 23 is Aka Buster confirmed. Her identity was almost revealed to the public, but they're like, oh, we gotta change this. Oh, man.
Yeah, good times. What else? What else? What else?
There's a lot of news this week, we swear.
Go with the licensing expo trailer thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the little images, like it's like
the thing that will more than likely actually just be a trailer because there were so many pictures of it.
Yeah.
That.
Like, we're not allowed to take footage, but we're allowed to take really fast pictures. But not that fast.
Yeah,
so
it works.
So it's revealed that they're ruining Torin, and they ruined other stuff, and everything's ruined.
And they delete everything is ruined.
Although Carnival was in it,
yes.
So I can't even make that Carnival ruined joke. But that already happened like before the expo when we got pictures of Dino Drive in person, which we'd never seen before that moment. We're not from the future.
Yeah. We had no idea that Dino Drive was going to be in it. No.
I think they bought it, guys.
No. I didn't know months ahead of anybody or anything.
No, of course not.
And so we got confirmation that Dino Drive is going to be in it, and Dino Drivier, Super Drivier, with like even more spikes and like silver stripes on their head. They're hashtag Team Silver Stripe. They love Silver Stripe from the Green Rangers series.
They're also hashtag No Mouth Plate.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that. It took me so long to realize it. It's embarrassing.
Me too.
And then I remembered that, like, when Kyoryuger was announced, like, all the people that were doing that, there was, like, people photoshopping out mouthpieces and people photoshopping lip ones. I just flashed back to that. But I can't believe how long it took me not to notice that. I thought they had always been that way.
I zoomed in right on the colored gloves. That was, like, the first thing I noticed. I didn't notice the spikes at first or no mouth plates.
I just had gloves.
Holy shit, Shelby has pink gloves. And I'm like... And I'm like,
it would have been funnier if
color.
Chase. Because I'm not looking at the picture right now. But does the regular Dino Drive have mouthpieces?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember.
The normal Dino Drive is basically just their normal suits, but with chest armor.
A big old.
And these are like way like more.
And these like, are like spikes on legs, spikes on arms.
Spikes.
Like, I'll be
new helmets.
Spikes getting souls, just, you know, spikes in Buffy's, on Buffy's. Taking road trips with Andro. Andro? Oh, okay. Andro. Andro. Andro and Spike is the new spinoff. Anyway, I'll be interested to see what the explanation behind both is. Right now, it looks like an Inzord only mode, because that's all we've seen it in, but. I think it would be really neat. I was thinking of this idea, which probably won't happen, because everyone assumed like Supercharge would be referencing Carnival mode, kind of like how Samurai had the coats and Megaforce had Gokaiger suits. Like, if it would be cool if they had some sort of like technology upgrade, like Kendall made some sort of Supercharge upgrade that just applied like a blanket Supercharge for all their powers and just kind of manifested in different ways. Like, instead of being like, oh, hey, it's just this one thing, like, their entire arsenal is supercharged, and that's why they have all these different modes. And maybe then Carnival is like, what's his name? You know, the guy that's got brown.
Tyler?
Yes, Tyler. He gets his beyond Super Dino Mode and Triassic Ranger moment, and then he just screams and becomes Carnival. But,
Did you say he got brown?
Yeah, you know, his, like, his skin color.
I know, I realized that. I was just trying to comprehend what you just said.
I was trying to think of his name really quickly. I was snapping my fingers like I was trying to get someone to hand me something. Like, wipe.
Brain just immediately went to him getting choked out by Quicksilver in American Horror Story.
Oh, God. But yeah, I just think that would be kind of, I doubt that would happen, but I think that would be a neat thing instead of simply referring to Carnival if it was like this upgrade for all of the stuff.
I'd love it. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'd be game for that.
Because they're obviously getting a lot of neat stuff, and there's like some mysterious sword that Gold's holding. And
I like the sword.
It kind of looks Dino Thundery.
It's a technical term. He gets it from the crossover! Crossover confirmed!
Crossover confirmed!
Oh, God. Revealed. At last, finally. But all kinds of, like, I love little surprises like that, that we had no idea that was coming. We didn't see that coming. He didn't see it coming that there was going to be a better Quicksilver a year ago. Like, damn it. I really thought I had this role. Damn you, Seth Wasmer from Phil of the Future. I don't know why I remember him from that. Like, that's the thing I link him to, anyway. So, that's cool. Graphite got retconned to gray, and Silver doesn't exist anymore, clearly.
Clearly. Graphite's actually just going to get upgraded to Silver.
Exactly. That's how his supercharge happens.
Oh, yeah.
He just puts bleach in the washer.
And Silver's going to become Titanium. He's going to be like Titanium Silver Beetleborg.
Oh, no.
Where's Platinum Purple? Chromium Gold Flabber.
Oh, what if Keeper's Flabber the whole time?
Oh, my God. What if just Kendall released him from the organ?
It just goes Keeper, Flabber, Torin with Flabber's head.
I'm game. I'm game. Let's do it. It'll be great.
And then it's just Jay Leno with Torin's body as he, as evil. That was the main thing. I mean, there's obviously all kinds of little footage bits that we can't really know whether or not Zeltrax suit and a Mad Torin, which is just Torin before, you know, he doesn't need a Snickers. And Chaos, and I think
Chaos was in the last one though too. So
I can see them using it. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't, but it's just like we don't know what context or anything, so it's hard to tell. Because Wizard was in the Super Mega Force one, and the TV Neon Subs made it into the last one. So
I thought Wizard was for Dino Charge.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Same thing.
He was actually in the Train Squad one, or whatever they're gonna call it.
Train Force if you're Korean.
Good thing.
Reporting on the Korean names is also news.
Better watch out, we're gonna get shut down like Seth Rogen and James Franco.
We got some Drive movie stuff.
Oh yeah.
Floatings around the interwebs.
Dark Drive is John Connor, who is now a Terminator, who has come back to kill Drive.
Essentially, yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it, confirmed. He was at that live show. He was like, I'll be back to the live show.
So Dark Drive is Tomari's kid from the future who went back in time to stop his dad. Because the Drive Driver will apparently release some sort of evil into the world and destroy everything or something. I figured Dark Drive was the evil, considering his name is Dark Drive.
Yeah,
that probably is what's going to happen.
It's going to be like, Dad, I am the evil. Stab or something.
When you and Krim merged, you made a baby and it came out this. My mom is Krim.
Everyone's like, Kiriko is the mom, obviously. Nope, it's Krim.
She's going to have Roy Mute babies with Chase.
Little Roy Mutes.
It's going to be the spinoff. Starring Little Roy Mutes and Baby Dave. It's all connected.
That's about it for, like, story stuff. We finally see the suit for Kamen Rider Super Dead Heat Drive.
Super Dead Meat.
This Dead Meat is super, even though he looks worse. Like, not, like, looks worse. I like the suit a hell of a lot more, but, yeah. Like, he looks more beat up than actual Dead Heat. So he looks physically ill, but...
He looks like Buff Drive. Like, Drive went and worked out, and he got chase muscles.
I love it.
I really like it, mostly because it took, like, Machine Chaser's suit and made it red, and then that's, like, the ticket to my heart. And then they added Drive elements to the helmet. I'm like, well, that's really fucking cool, too. So I really like it. I don't know if I would necessarily pick up a figure art if they made one, but I like it a lot, for sure. That's about it. There's some crap about the Ninja movie, but who really gives a shit?
Not me.
Something about dinosaurs and fetuses.
Seems right.
There's a CGI image of Dinomaru, though. It's a ticket to toy sales. You have to have dinosaurs in your toy line to sell. That's why GoBusters did so bad. They didn't have any dinosaurs.
That's what they concluded. That's how Kyuzer was born.
They're like, hold on, we didn't have any dinosaurs. Fuck.
This is
undoable. We gotta do a full season about dinosaurs. But wait, Ghost Ager had two dinosaurs and still did shit. Well,
yeah, but the girl's ears were really big, so it kind of canceled it out. Like, you couldn't see the dinosaurs over the ears. Like, I don't see them. All I see is those ears.
Aries' ears were just too big.
And the one girl was just a Mexican version of last year's Sentinel girl. That's an old callback. Mexican Cota. Oh, man. We were, like, really hard on Ghost Ager back in the day.
Not as bad on it anymore.
Days gone by.
Because worse things have happened.
Yes, much worse. They're happening right now. Like, it makes Ghost Ager look amazing, actually, when you think about it. Not amazing, but it's like, I did not have this much annoyance. Like, all these different negative emotions happening at once.
That's just true.
Should we talk about the two different movie rumors?
Sure. There's a Power Ranger movie, by the way, not the Drive movie. Ranger movie. We're jumping back to the Power Ranger movie because who knows
keep structure it up, on guys. The show.
We don't know what the hell we're doing.
Well, it's all connected, though, because rumor has it Drive is actually Rita Repulsa. And if George is wanting Sandra Oh to play or doesn't pan out, I kind of want Ken Jeong to play Rita Repulsa.
Oh my gosh, I need it.
Ken Jeong, which would be amazing. She just Chang puns everywhere. Damn, girl!
And then Rito is just two Changs together.
I want Zed to be Jim Rash. And then we're fine. It would actually be amazing. I would love to see Jim Rash as one of the Power Rangers ones. It would be amazing. Anyway, which one should we talk about first? The official one by...
The Lord Zed one first, because that one came out first.
Okay, well, settle down, Merlin. There's no need to yell.
You fucking asked.
No, I didn't. I asked.
Okay. You missed. I'm still the difference here.
Between inquiring and chopping wood. That sounded dirtier than I thought it would. Just proceed. Proceed?
I thought you were going to read them.
I don't have them in front of me.
George will read them.
I have them in front of me.
George will read them because he's prepared.
Yeah, I count on people to read to me.
Zordon and Lord Zed are brothers and were once apprentices of the powerful Vertex. I almost said Viagra.
The powerful Vortex. So powerful it got canceled.
But while Zordon became his successor, Lord Zed became obsessed with power and vowed to conquer the galaxy. Zordon assembled the Power Rangers to fight Lord Zed, but Lord Zed corrupted their leader, Krayt, who killed the others and became Lord Zed's apprentice and enforcer, leaving Zordon disillusioned with the Power Rangers. Lord Zed is searching for the Zyarian crystal, the source of the Power Rangers' powers, which could make his army invincible. It is located on Earth, forcing Zordon to assemble 5 young human warriors to defend it from Kray, who is sent to to retrieve it alongside an array of putties here called Warlings.
They just make really weird noises. Instead of they just go.
Teenagers are Jason, Kimberly, Zach, Billy, and Trini, here called Tracy.
Quartermain, boom for the win. Jane Elliott replaces corpse for the win.
Bulk and Skull are here, too. There's a period there. Alpha is an artificial intelligence that recruits the future Rangers through their technological devices. He's more dry than wacky and doesn't have a physical body. In a way, he resembles Jarvis. How does he resemble Jarvis? Is he just the Vision already?
He's the Vision with like a really weird saucer head.
Can you just fucking imagine the Vision flying around going, ay, 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 ay.
There are 2 giant monsters throughout the movie, one defeated by separate Zords and one defeated by the combined Mega Zord. There is a period there, too. Jason is pretty much the main character, and Kray is his foil. No Tommy, no Rita, but there's a reference to her in the beginning. No Goldar. It's not gritty, but definitely takes a more serious tone and wants to set up sequels. The Power Rangers are Breakfast Club-ish, which just means Robert Downey Jr. is there. Jason is a poor kid from the... He's a street youth. and is on the verge...
Of drugs.
Crime. Kimberly is a rich slut. Exact words, I'm joking. She's a rich girl, and her father is actually the one who accidentally discovers the Zyrian crystal through his company, but longs for more. He just wants crystals. Is he Walter White?
He was actually just looking for a girl named Crystal.
Tracy or Trini is sheltered and her parents demand a lot from her. Asian stereotype! Billy is a star athlete and his parents are also very demanding. Oh shit, I read the wrong one. Zach is a star athlete and his parents are also very demanding. Billy is a social outcast, a skilled hacker, and also, he's gay.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Corrupting our children.
Hints of romance between Jason and Kimberly and Zach and Tracy.
And I'm just picturing Walter Jones, Dan Elliott, and I can't.
Hey, for me. No, I only have four. Okay, Bulk and Skull are social outcasts as well as actually more or less friends of Jason. They both come from broken homes and want to become badass gangsters. But they're actually good people. I actually really like those guys. They're different but great. Okay, why did you have to put a personal comment in there, person? Alpha, as I said, is pretty sassy. they'll definitely get a British guy to play him. Thanks, the guy who wrote this. Zordon is still a wise mentor, but the years have been rough on him, and he actually has a little faith in the Rangers at first, but comes around in the end.
It's like Optimus, but without shooting people in the
face. He's like normal Zordon.
Yeah. Lord Zedd is... There's about 6 periods there. He's evil because he wants power. He gets one speech or two justifying his reasons, but yeah, he's evil just because. Kray is a pretty good character in many ways. He's the main villain, though. And he works as a foil to Jason. There's an underlying conflict with Zordon being sort of his father-like character, and a lot of hurt between the two is explored as well as it could. Alpha models the Zords after dinosaurs after scanning the internet for the most terrifying creatures in human history. They should have just looked for the Kardashians. 5 big action scenes, and while the Rangers are all pretty sporty, they're not martial arts experts at all and have to learn to fight. Each has a particular athletic skill set and stumble on each other a lot in the beginning to get their teamwork going. And that's the end.
The movie ends with them teamwork? Like, they're just tripping, like, oh, fuck, we gotta get this shit together. And post-credit scene, we got it together. And they're all eating breakfast at detention. If they're gonna do, like, Breakfast Club, can we just cast Victorious Cast? Because they did that really good, Breakfast
yes.
Club.
Yes!
Let's just do that.
No Ariana Grande, though.
No. So, that definitely sounds interesting. There's some really cool ideas in there, I think.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good to me. It's probably not true at all, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly doubt any of it, really. I mean, outside of the basics, like... I kind of like the idea of them
keeping all the names about Trini, like, just replacing it. I like... It just cracks me up.
The character outlines seem pretty, like, typical to the point where I believe those.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if they would necessarily make Billy gay.
No, but... I don't think they would in a million years.
I think it's too on the nose. Like, yeah, definitely. It'd be fine to have a gay character amongst them, but making it be Billy, like, is way too, like, specific.
Just have Jason in a threesome with his childhood friends, Bulk and Skull.
They'll be just like April and her two gay boyfriends. Actually, exactly. Bulk and Skull are actually going to be those two guys.
People already think that Austin St. John did gay porn anyway, so... People still won't let that go. Like,
I know.
Like the fucking casuals are like, you know, he did gay porn. I'm like, no.
He did straight porn. Get it right.
Get out.
Start a new rumor.
Austin St. John actually does porn with everyone he rescues.
Rescue porn? It was like when that guy faded at Morphicon and he helped him. Like, oh my god, this is really happening right now. This is a thing. Is this staged? The dude passed out. Couldn't believe that happened. Awkward silence. Come on. It was kind of funny. Come on.
Go ahead with the other one.
Oh, let me find it. I didn't have that one open.
Oh, well.
You're fired. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Why?
I've never
what kind of show do you think we run?
I'm supposed to be the one that's just like a kid that nobody watches. You haven't used to read to me. But regardless if that's true, I think if some of those elements were in it, I don't know. I think they're kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot that they can expand on with the origins. I mean, MMPR Season 1 is literally nothing. Like, it has nothing. There's no storyline or anything. Like, what's going to crack me up more than anything, no matter what this movie turns out to be, is that hardcore and casual fans alike will say it doesn't live up to MMPR Season 1, even though it has to try actively to be worse than that. Like, almost anything they do will be better than the first season.
Can
like it has.
I mean, like, can it actually be worse?
It can't. Like, it had no storyline. Like, they have so much to work with. Like, they can fill in so many blanks. Like I said, they'd have to actually try to be worse.
It's like a Mad Lib. It can't go wrong, really.
Really, it can't. Like, I'm pretty sure no matter what they do, I'll like it more than Season 1 that I rewatched last year.
Looking back, I'm pretty sure Season 1 was a Mad Lib.
It was... It's painful.
It was the world's worst Mad Lib.
It was like a story of nothing about kids occasionally recycling and being way too goody. Like...
Like, the fill in the blanks were a good deed.
Good deed.
In this generic episode, advice. Trini does a
and
good deed.
And fall into some juice or some shit.
Generic advice to kid who wears conductor's hat that will never apply to real life. Well, why aren't they including me? Well, look at your head. Wearing a conductor's hat.
Oh, come on, honey. Okay, it's open. It says, Rita Repulsa is a huntress striking yet subtly alien-looking woman. She carries a metallic staff topped with a distinctive crescent shape, advances with a soldier's confidence, guided by some sort of compass. Her staff is actually a device of immense power. She points it at the ground, heads emerge, built layer upon layer like 3D printing made from the earth itself. The staff's technology grants her the ability to create humanoid figures, soulless and robotic. And then there's a description for Zordon that says, though alien, he looks like a man in his 50s, sinewy and strong, as if carved from some root that refused to die, a the being weird. Of integrity and iron will. He's just Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Zordon.
That was it, right?
Oh. Yeah, that was it. Sorry.
Wasn't there that thing about that he was a ranger?
Yeah, that was a thing.
He was a ranger, and like they fought when the dinosaurs were happening, and the keeper killed them all. The Zordon's like, I will end your Rita Repulsa. Meteor lands on Zordon, smacks him right in the face. Rita, meteor lands on Rita. Like, it's just, the movie ends right there, and it just says, Dino Charge! And then it says, check out Power Rangers Dino Charge.
Okay, there was an ad in the way. It says, I'm also told that we first meet Rita in the prologue of the film, which takes place during the Cretaceous period. On the last day of the dinosaurs on Earth, Rita fights that period's Power Rangers. The Red Ranger is also...
Zordon. Okay. Hashtag Battle of Tampax.
Oh, wow. I like the first one more.
Yeah.
I don't mind it being Rita instead of Zed for the first movie. I really don't. And I don't mind Zordon being interpreted as like a warrior. But to like go all Rita and Zordon fought in the dinosaur age on Earth with the dinosaurs. Like, bro, stop.
Dinosaurs were there, and dinosaurs, so you know those are real. I said dinosaurs like 3 times. What more do you want? Dinosaurs, therefore.
I'm like, we have confirmation that their Zords are, like, shaped like dinosaurs. They aren't actually dinosaurs. You don't really need to fully pull us into the, oh my god, they fought in the Cretaceous period, so they're dinosaurs. Ugh. You don't have to do that.
The other set of rumors feels more realistic, although they're probably both fake.
Probably.
But, yeah.
The way of describing Zordon is like a tree that refused to die. Like, who the hell describes someone like that? Like, they were on a normal description route, and they're like, oh, he's a carving of wood that dies with... Like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you rambling about?
And then his final form is just the Nemeton from Fable. Just a tree stump. With a face on it.
Just leaves dark things to you. That sounds like Zordon.
Yeah. Zordon is actually the Dooku tree from Ocarina of Time.
Yes, Count Dooku. Oh, man. But either way, both of them kind of showed, like I said, that there's really cool ways that they could expand the backstory. Like, fan film, the Zordon of Eltar thing, I think has some really cool ideas. If you watch the trailer, it's like super confusing, and they keep talking about Order of Meridian, and like it's like super confusing. Like, I feel like I'm watching CNN or something. But like, just the idea behind it of like, if Power Rangers cared about an expanded universe, it would be really cool to see them 4 times.
Yeah.
Like, they have some cool ideas in there. Like, the Rita had like the dragon symbol everywhere, and these warriors with the golden armor, and that Zordon used the insignia that the White Ranger used. Like, there's some cool things in there. It's super confusing. But, like, just in general, all three of those ideas, I'd love to see some of that expanded on, because there's, like, next to nothing going on in MMPR.
No. It's all horrible.
It's like... it'll be interesting for sure. I hope... They really need to just start getting some information out there soon. Like, even without the casting, I'd love to get a little more information about what they're doing. Oh, there also is a breaking story that they're going to cast unknowns, but I'm going to assume with the movie that means they're going to cast people that are unknown actors but know how to act, as opposed to Saban's approach of just casting whoever they found roaming the streets. Could have been anyone, seriously.
You want to be a Power Ranger? Tia! And see, a legacy was born.
You got the chutzpah. But... yeah, so I still want Ardencho as Tracy. I think that they should just replace Trini's name. I think that would be funny.
We should just replace her name with a name that's not Trini.
Pretty much.
No one. Maybe they'll do Trini.
They'll do original recipe Trini.
She'll I just don't think Asian people name their kid Trini.
I don't think I've ever seen a single soul named Trini anywhere. Not anymore either.
No.
To Google. Trini.
Just gonna be a picture of her. That's how they did the dinosaurs off of Google to scariest monsters, and it came out dinosaurs.
Yellow Ranger Trini is the second response on Google. The first one is Urban Dictionary. People from the island of Trinidad.
God, it's a cult of boring people that wear funny hats with balls on the top.
Oh, Trini, you're a mess.
Intentional. I think our top story this week is Ben 10 returns.
Hell yeah! If any good thing came out of Licensing Expo, it was that.
So that's exciting. Like, that reboot thing ended up being true. They didn't announce it in December, like that person said, but it's true.
Really fucking late.
I assumed that I believed that it was true, but I thought it would be later, which it kind of is. But I couldn't imagine them throwing it away. Like, up until before this announcement, I still constantly get messages and comments about Ben 10. Like, I keep getting asked FM questions, and I was like, bro, it's over. But I guess it's not. Because it's, like, a huge thing, so I couldn't imagine that they would give up on it. And they gave it essentially back to Man of Action. I'm not sure what the decision behind that was in the first place. Like, Ben 10 was doing so well, and then they decided to do a sequel series, but then hire new writers and do a new style. I like Alien Force and stuff, but just, I want to know, like, the logic behind what their thought process was throughout the production of the series.
Yeah.
Because the reason, obviously, that they're going back to Kid Ben now, and the reason he was supposedly going to be in Omniverse is because it was stated numerous times in everything I read that 10-year-old Ben was still the most popular version of the character.
Yeah.
Which is why they did, like, that Destroy All Aliens movie and stuff. And so they really could have pulled that off in Omniverse. Like, if they had split the time between Kid Ben and Team Ben more, that could have been really cool. But
yeah,
he was only ever highlighted for the feedback arc, and then he was, like, never in it.
Yeah, that's still my biggest upset with Omniverse, is not utilizing Kid Ben.
I think my biggest upset is them rewriting Kevin's backstory.
Yeah. Yeah. The reboot rumors were announced, and Jeff was talking to me about it, and he mentioned how we kept talking about how they rewrote Kevin's backstory and how pissed we were. They basically just Tahiti'd him. And they took Kevin Levin, they Tahiti'd him, and were like, here's your backstory. And then later on, they were like, hey, nope, we lied to you, bitch.
It's a magical place.
It's all connected.
You're not a bitch.
But yeah, that whole thing was so stupid because I remember when they announced Kevin was going to be a protagonist for Alien Force, I'm like, they have to come up with a pretty damn cool story for him. And they did, and then they rewrote it.
Kevin was my favorite in Alien Force.
They rewrote it because Wyatt didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't know how that dude got so much power. Like, there was a lot of things I liked about Omniverse. I think that they tried to recapture some of that more fun vibe from the original series, and I think they did it sometimes, but they had a lot of cool aliens I liked and some cool concepts, but especially near the end, the way they constantly were, like, rewriting and changing stuff, and it really made me mad about how Derek Wyatt got so much control over it, whether it was things as big as Kevin or not doing Jet Ray because he didn't like him because he thought he was used too much in Alien Force. It's just little things like that really pissed me off. So in one way, I'm kind of sad to see this, like, world they built go, but I think the refresh could be really neat. And they can always tie it back later because of the whole multiverse they introduced in Omniverse. And even if they never do, in your head, you can just say it's just another version of them because there was, like, a bunch of versions of them. And they're, like, really going back, like, on the nose, like, Ben going around in summer with Grandpa Max and Gwen. Like, they're not, right now, as far as we know, not changing much about the setup for it.
That's kind of me.
As long as it's still enjoyable, I'm okay with it.
Like, I hope they change some things, though, so it's not, like, exactly
the same. If the first episode has them, like, getting the Omnitrix turning into Heat Blast, or whatever, then I'll be a little bit skeptical. But the base premise of Grandpa Max, Gwen, and Ben just doing shit like the first season was, or first series rather, then I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the base premise being the same, but if they start like copying episodes, then I'll start questioning it.
Yeah. There was something about like the atmosphere of the first series that was just really fun.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Like getting to travel around, like the trip did give them opportunity to go to all these different locations, and like the whole discovery aspect of it. Like that's why I'm going to be really interested to see where they go, because part of the interesting thing about the first series for me was like the mystery of the Omnitrix, like where did it come from, what's its purpose, and then that all kind of got answered. So I'm wondering if they'll, I wonder if they'll do that again or how they'll change it. They said they're going to be using old and new aliens, which is kind of the way they've been doing it, but I think that'll be cool to see even newer versions of aliens that just got redesigned, but seeing some new ones as well. But regardless, I'm just excited to have it back and
me too.
See what they do with it.
I'm looking forward to toys.
Me too, believe me. Did you guys see, like, in the article, they said, like, kids get their information differently now, and the way the show will reflect that or something? What the hell was that about?
Ben's going to be on a smartphone taking selfies with all the aliens.
Oh, God.
Ben is Star Ninja.
Oh, no.
Oh, that would be the worst. There was one person that said, what if it's going to be like Teen Titans Go with Ben?
No, no.
Don't say that to me. Don't even comment that. You just gave an idea.
I almost vomited just hearing that.
He doesn't have a really big head, so I think we're okay.
if it's anything like Teen Titans Go, I'm going to flip a shit. I might still buy toys, but I'll flip a shit anyway.
That's exactly how I feel.
It's kind of like the Ninja, actually, with that concept. I mean, we're still buying the toys, but we're just flipping shit every week. Like, I hate this, but I gotta buy the toys. Because what if they make PR? Then we. But yeah, I hope it's not anything changed like that. I hope it's still, you know, a superhero show and not like a comedy thing. I'll be interested to see how it goes like far in the future, just because I don't see the problem with them continuing it for years and years just based on the Ben 10 name instead of having to, you know, create a new name for it every year. Like all their other successful shows, I mean, granted, they're mostly like comedy shows, but they have like, you know, Adventure Time or the regular show and stuff. They've been going a long time and they don't, you know, do regular show, The Lost Chronicles or whatever, or Adventure Time, Finn Chronicles, or all these Chronicles. I don't know why Chronicles is always coming out of my mouth. I meant to say like Finn Force or something, but like they could just leave it with that title and still, you know, generate excitement like via new aliens and stuff. So it's just exciting this back. That was easily my most excited thing this week. Everyone was like, oh my God, Supercharged poster revealed. I'm like, Skylanders ripoff, Ben 10 is back.
I was really happy when I woke up to that.
I woke up to it and I freaked like a 10-year-old. I ran screaming down to my mom.
It's all connected, 10, see? And like, the first news source I saw it from was a person I follow from TV Line for like regular TV news. Like I did not expect to see that reporting out of it. Like I usually see like, you know, Arrow News or Grey's Anatomy or something like
that. Yeah.
Primetime news from Michael Acelio, and then it's like, oh look, Ben 10. So that was exciting. Randomly, very quickly jumping back, I was amazed at the amount of people that did not know this season was going to be called Dino Supercharged, that like were reacting to this news as if it was brand new.
I know.
People are like that? I missed that.
Yes, there are people everywhere like, oh, they're doing Super again, I can't even believe it. They're keeping Carnival, they're doing Dino Charge again. Like they were surprised that we were doing a second year of Curiouser footage. Like, I don't understand how people miss. The Toku fandom is the most obnoxious, like, news reporting vehicle I've ever seen. It's like air horns going off everywhere. I don't know how people can miss news reporting. I just don't understand it.
I don't get it either. This fandom is a fucking mess. It
really is. It's just, I couldn't believe like all the people reacting to it for the first time. I'm like, are you serious, my boy?
This was 2 years ago, bitches.
Are you using Super again? Well, we kind of knew that.
Using Super everywhere. Supercharged, Super Drive, Super Dead Meat, whatever. Super is that? It's the year of Super, apparently. We love Super.
Dino Drive, it's just Drive with dinosaur on his head.
Confirmed.
Yes.
Oh, people.
So, I dare say that is all the news, I think.
I do declare.
There was the golden graphite figures.
Oh, yeah. People are finding those, and I'm mad at them.
I know. I've gone out 4 times, and I just weep to myself every time.
I'm just glad, like, I'm most excited about, like, the graphite figure. Like, I'm most excited about those, like, Spirit Ranger figures I've talked about.
Yeah.
I meant to mention that when we were talking about the new modes. Like, I'm a lot surprised about, like, Dino Drive and then Dino Super or Drive or whatever, that we're getting all these modes in a series where we have this wealth of Rangers. Like, I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, like, I know. I agree. And especially with the fact that we're supposed to be getting all those villain figures.
Uh-huh. Oh,
forgot about those.
Like, there's so many figures that are supposedly being made, and I'm like, we're adding... Like, first we're like, oh, there's a bunch of these villain figures. I'm like, oh, that's great. And I was like, well, wait, we're supposed to be getting armed-on versions of the Rangers, and then Toy Fair happened, and it's like, oh, it's this new form. And I'm like, okay, so we got like, the main 5... Then we got gold, and then the main 5 got a power-up, and then we're getting graphite, and then there's aqua, and I'm sitting here going, oh my god, what? That's a lot of figure.
Like with all of the Legendary Rangers last year, but like all over the map.
Yeah, like instead of doing all the Legendary Rangers, they're basically doing monster villains now, which is fine. There's still some old Rangers I'd like figures of. But
yeah, definitely.
I'm really not caring about the villains. Like, I don't really mind the making them, but I don't really care about them, and I'm pretty happy about the power-up modes. It just surprises me that they have 10 Rangers, 11 with Talon, that they could do so many different figures and bike figures, and they have so many different options, and yet we're doing more, and it's surprising. We're like, I could see them doing something like this for a Tokuser or a Ninja adaption, where we only have 6 right now, so they could, you know, give them multiple power-ups that we don't know about, because they don't have 5 or 6 other Rangers to go by, so
yeah,
like it's kind of a nice unexpected thing in that way, though. I like that for the future of whatever we adapt, that we could get all these surprises, and I really do miss American exclusives like that you would see on the shelf, like, you know, Hovertech Cycle and Strike Rider Cruise.
I miss Cycle so much.
I miss cruising with the Strike Rider. But I miss stuff like that, and this kind of reminds me of that. It was kind of this neat little thing. I mean, sure, it's definitely a toy sales thing. Like, I don't know why everyone was getting all uppity when the Dino Drive was first unveiled to the public, where they're like, oh, they're just trying to make toy sales. I'm like, why are you being uppity about that?
Yeah.
Problem. Everything it's is to sell toy toys. Yay. Like, God, everyone's just so snobby.
Can you handle it? This fandom pretty good.
Like, I don't know why everyone was mad about that, but... bottom line is, I really liked having America exclusive stuff that ended up making it into the show, and that's one of the things I really liked about the Disney era and a little bit before.
Me too.
So. I really like the fact that Jungle Fury Red got it, like, a special armor when he rode his motorcycle.
Yeah, because like a lot of the cycle figures had something like that, and that was like the first time they included it. And he said, cruise, and then he's like, Go Buster's the best scent. I'm like, I like you. And Dan Ewing is all of a sudden tweeting Power Rangers things, so I'm like, hey, I have a reason to follow you now.
Yeah.
Because before it was like, I don't know what you're talking about, and you're not on Dallas. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah.
Well, his little RPM buddies are probably like, dude, you can come to U.S. conventions and get money. And he's like, well, shit. Go Power Rangers.
That's kind of how it happens with everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, even the good ones.
Uh-huh. Now just awkward silence.
That's just a show.
Pretty much. We have to, like, calm down after we just spew out nonsense. We just settle down. A couple times last week there was a break and George would be like, oh, everybody abandoned me? I'm like, we're just trying to breathe. Give us a minute, George.
I've now Ryan's over here my wheezing. Bed so it could happen again. What about the names like Ivan and Prince Philip?
Oh, yeah. I forgot we never talked about
my
those.
My favorite name in the history of the universe is Philip.
Prince Philip.
Oh, God. So it's confirmed that it's Prince Charming from Once Upon a Time, right?
Oh, no.
No. Okay, Hook.
As long as he doesn't bring Snow White.
God.
Who only had character development to just sit in a cell and be a pregnant bitch.
Her hair was way more fabulous in the flashbacks. Yeah. She looks like a 10-year-old boy. Anyway, 10-year-old boy Snow White aside, so we knew the dude was going to be a knight. I had no idea Ivan was going to be him. He didn't even tell me. Like, I knew he did the cosplay stuff now, but... And so, wait, this Prince Philip guy, he sounds like a present-day guy that's like a fanboy? Is that right? Yeah.
He's like a modern-day character. And he has, like, butlers and stuff.
Like, it was so confusing when I read it, because it says he's a prince, so I'm like, oh, it's gonna be another Frozen fuck. And then they're like, oh, no, he's a fanboy. I'm like, that's weird. Do princes still exist? And then I forgot about England.
And I love how everybody just automatically saw a gray cowboy hat on Riley's brother and went,
I love how Brian's like, is there any evidence? Like, well, he was wearing a gray hat and a gray shirt in the pilot. I watched the pilot. The gray shirt is a tiny triangle under a like a white button-up shirt. I'm like, how the fuck? People are watching the pod on this shit.
Like, I was really confused because, I mean, I understand the original character descriptions matched graphite with, I was gray at the time.
Yeah.
With green. And I'm like, okay, so, and then Matt, his name's Matt, right, appears?
Yeah.
And he's got, like, a gray hat, apparently, or whatever. And so, I mean, I understand, like, a small assumption, but to do this whole build-up where you're like, oh my god, that's graphite. That's graphite right there. He's graphite, right?
He's graphite. He's confirmed. He's on, like, all the Wikipedia pages and everything.
I
and
know.
Then all of a sudden, it's like, he's not graphite. I'm like, well, then you shouldn't have hyped it up. you were like fucking guessing. It's like people that don't know the obvious Kendall will be purple thing.
Yeah.
And like instantly assuming she'll be purple because like of her like purple glasses or something. They're like they'll latch on to the tiniest hope.
Like I'm kind of happy about it because I mean we only saw him for like 5 minutes, but I wasn't really that psyched about him being a ranger. He just looked like a generic Hannah Montana love interest. So I was like, so it's definitely a really interesting description for it. Like I didn't expect, which is really neat. Like Dino Charge is just a bunch of shit I didn't expect.
I'm happy because people are upset.
Me too.
That's the way I get happy.
I feed off it.
You know what makes me happy? Other people's misfortune.
They're like, he's not Riley's brother. This is shit. I'm like, this is awesome.
Give me your booze.
The press release said there's going to be 10 Rangers. That clearly means talent not going to be used.
Not at all. Yeah,
clearly, he's not in the Morpher.
Clearly, he's not in the Morpher. You know, he could just be a bad guy.
He's not in the Morpher where we got the name from, Talon.
Oh, man. I like the concept, though. Like, if my thought's right, we'll probably see him soon.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily graphite, but, like, the character, because, like, the next, like, two episodes or something are all about, like, princes and shit.
Well, and his figure is out first, too, which goes against my theory about them wanting to go in number order. Because I was like, maybe they're holding back Aqua to do gold first, because 6, 7, and then, nope, they're skipping over 8. So.
7, 8, 9.
There you go. It's all connected by math. Fuck math. No, I'm upset. But, yeah.
Aqua ate purple.
Poor Kendall, he ate out purple. Oh, God. Aqua is Kendall's boyfriend, confirmed. They both awakened the flute. I mean, the organ. Oh, God, she awakened his flute. Oh, God.
That took a turn.
Yeah, it really did. I, like, stumbled
last
upon it.
White.
Oh, God. It's the white Blaster Beetleborg. Oh, my God, that suddenly got so dirty. I think I got an amazing penis name now. Damn it. Oh my god, this got really bad. Like,
prepare for my white blast. I don't know why I like baby
blast. Whips out penis. Beetle bond.
Beetle blast.
Oh god.
bug out.
Oh, God.
Is the condom input card? I don't know. Okay. But yeah, Dino Charge is going to be cool.
I'll show you my little goal.
Oh, God.
I'll show you my little ghoul. This is my new favorite line.
Oh man, it's Flabber.
It's just little eyes. And...
Oh god.
I'll show you my one-eyed ghoul.
Oh my god. I feel like there's a Mums joke in there somewhere, but I'm not sure.
If you don't shave properly down there, you can call it Wolfie.
Oh, God.
Guys, we're in the middle of a show. We're making Beetleborg's penis jokes.
Guys, we're being Horrible. I mean, come on.
Aww.
Classic me.
Be careful, Lucas.
Oh my god.
Okay, let's go on. Let's move.
I call the balls tripping van. Last one.
Okay. Oh, now I want to watch Beetleborgs.
They're from Eagleton. We've already confirmed this.
They really are.
All right. Speaking of Eagleton,
Kristen Bell the whole time. She changed her face again.
Now it's time for superhero time. Ninja and Drive.
That was like the most over the top excited one I've ever heard.
My mouth is stuck in a grinning position.
It was bordering on cartoonish right there. Cartoonist? See, it's still cartoonish? More dregs.
This is the literally pain I felt at Morphicon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This will be the end of me. So, the Ninja was a thing that was on my computer.
Oh, it was an amazing plot to turn the series around about contractual obligations.
This was basically, hey guys, look at how pretty Kasumi is, the episode.
Is she really, though?
Moral anybody.
No, she could not.
That was about it. It was also toy sales, the episode. We got
like every Megazord was on screen.
What the hell one that they used? Cocker Ranger, right?
Yeah, they used Cocker Ranger.
Pound Maru, UFO Maru, both of which were the first time used in Shurikenshin without having Shinobi Maru as an arm.
Oh, yeah.
That was a thing.
I didn't even notice.
Neither did I.
I may or may not have switched tabs multiple times during the episode. Which is not a good thing when you can't understand what they're saying.
I mean, obviously, like normal, they use the Gotone Shuriken a lot.
And the Gohan.
Yeah.
The Gotenks won the fusion.
That was more powerful.
It was.
But if you don't use it right, it gets old or fat.
Super Ghost Kamikaze attack. Kamikaze attack!
What else?
There was a little interesting-ish moment at the end where Kitmon tried to recruit. I don't know his real name. Star Ninja. They keep calling him Star Sans, so that doesn't even help me learn his name.
Yeah, I know.
His name is Kenji.
No, it's not.
It is!
You just lied. Oops.
I forgot what his last name was, but his name's Kenji.
Oh, man. He doesn't deserve that name.
Why?
Because Kenji Matsuda.
Kenji, not Kenji.
Not Kenji.
Oh, that's a technicality, man.
Kenji, because Ken is gold.
Kenji sounds like you're just pronouncing it really cutesy. How would I know that? How would I know that Ken is gold? Gold is gold. I only speak American. Okay? America. I only eat those burgers with hot dogs and chips on them. That actually sounds really good right now. It's probably because I'm hungry, so I'm like damn. Anyway, she tried to recruit him because she's like, Grandpa said that I couldn't have the Star Shuriken, so I got mad face.
That was really stupid. Like, her entire motivation is he wouldn't let me have the Shuriken of the End, so...
And it turns out that what's his name left? Needs it. What's he gonna... He needs it because he wants to end the world because he's mad that they don't have old-timey photo booths anymore. That's the real reason.
This show's at the point where I wouldn't be surprised if that was the actual plot.
It's probably... That sounds like something a stupid Toku person would do. Like, they always have really stupid, like, single-minded reasons for doing things. He's probably actually mad that DK didn't invite him to the party. That's probably the real reason. Like, that's literally, like, the only tiny shred of plot going on right now is this thing with Cutemon, and now that Star Ninja's semi-connected to it. Like, I'm so over the Star Ninja trying to take their lives, because it's being played for such comedic value. Like, every time they're like, lol, Star, I know you're back there, I'm like, any minute now I'm sure to laugh. Like, it's so old. Like, the concept of it could be interesting for a bit if it wasn't played for a joke, and now it's just gone on too long. And I think it's only been like 4 weeks, but it feels like 4 years.
And it doesn't help, like, he doesn't try. Like,
no.
Like, if they crafted the character to actually act like an assassin, it could actually be interesting, but because of the tone of the show being so lighthearted that they basically just play him out to be a fool.
Yeah, it's really dumb. Like, if any of it was taken more seriously, the concepts are neat, but... Oh, God, I hate everything.
Like, I mean, in this episode, he, like, drove up, and he was ready to go attack Cloud Boy and Asshole.
Lava Girl.
I don't want to call Takahiro Lava Girl. But, he went up to attack them, and he was like, oh, they look busy. I don't want to try to take their life when they're busy. And he turns around. And, like, drives away. I'm like, what is wrong with you? And then, like, this episode, Rotomaru beats the shit out of everyone.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you could have just took him out. Rotomaru has the power, apparently. He's got his fucking gun blade thing. And
he could just have Rotomaru step on their house. They would coming.
Better yet, just summon Rotomaru and the Bison Buggy, just drive over their house.
Yeah, that would be amazing. The ninja would be amazing if that were just the end of the show. It would be like the end of Two and a Half Men. Just Chuck Lorre is all of a sudden right there behind Rotomaru, saying winning. That happens.
He drives over the house, and then he comes up to Grandpa. He's like, dude, I killed him. I crushed their house. I crushed your house. I also crushed your son. It's fine, right? And then Grandpa would be like, yeah, and he gives him the shuriken in the end, and then Kenji just kills everyone.
There, boom. And then the series is rebooted for 40. It's a whole new canon, even though none of the series are canon to each other, except they are sometimes. It's a terrible mess going on.
Rider and Sentai are connected with each other when they need to be.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with Sentai. Like, like, they're all supposed to be separate, except for the team-ups and Gokaiger, except now all of a sudden Murakaku Ranger and Hurricaneger are canon to Ninja. It's like, even the beginning of the Sentai teamed up know it. They say, these two teams that should never have met. Even the narrator knew it. This shouldn't be happening.
And, like, the way I see it, I mean, it's just... Things are canon when they want to be. Like, in this case... They're like, oh, Kaku Ranger and Hurricaneger are canon. Apparently, Go Ranger is canon too because Sentai Legacy and the ninjas hang out with each other, apparently. Even though the Kaku Rangers were never in anything related to Hurricaneger. So, whatever.
Bad. They were
and all their storylines contradict each other.
That's Sentai. But it was pretty stupid, like. The episode that Kenji Matsuda died was, like, the only episode of the show I actually moderately enjoyed.
It was the day my soul died, if that was what you were going to say.
I got really fucking upset. Because I thought he was going to come back, and he hasn't came back yet. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Now we got this guy that just fucking can't get his goddamn name right.
Willis, we have to go back to the beginning. I'm sorry. Digimon.
So I don't... Can we talk about Drive?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Drive, cool.
Drive was, like, on point this week.
Drive was beyond on point this week. Like, Drive was the on-pointest it's ever been.
I think it was, like, the best episode they've done.
Like, I'm so happy because it was a good explanation for why he was alive. And it opened up a new door for stories because him and Kramer now kind of fused, which added to really cool parts in the fight. And I love the explanation for Type Trideron that it wasn't, oh, hey, this was in the back of the closet. I totes forgot it. They did everything that made me happy. Like, Type 4 was a seriously weak sauce.
It was perfect. I mean, I don't want to say perfect, but it was as close to perfect as something like this could probably be. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, they had to work for the shift card. They didn't like, oh, I had this sitting in the back. Raina was like, I'm trying to find a goddamn way to fuse everything together so I can bring them back to life or something. I don't know. Type. And
because it was made for something else. It was made to just be a finisher for the trailer cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's cool that it took on a different form, and it makes sense she would be working on something like that, but it wasn't like a pulling the form out of your ass thing or, hey, I fixed dead heat, but not really.
I added a chunk of plastic to it, and it works now.
It's like, it was so much better done. It felt so much more organic than a lot of Final Forms. Like, a Fize. He either got it mailed to him, or someone said, hey, you dropped this. That's literally, I always go back to that, but that's hilarious to me.
Even Gaim, as much as I like, love Gaim, he just, like, he got handed that thing.
Yeah.
Michi just had that final form in a drawer.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hey, I forgot I made this, like, cyanide Loxied.
Yeah.
But here, just take it.
Just take this, it'll be cool. But, so that was really great. The fact that he was alive, I'm okay with. Like, it wasn't expertly done, but it wasn't like the, oh, he was brought back through the power of friendship or the power of shift car juice. Or juice. Anything.
like in ADR juice.
Or anything stupid like that. It was... in the tone of the show, I can totally buy it. Because, like, I mean, it's a writer show. It doesn't make sense, so...
Like, that they kind of fuse together now. And that Krim can literally take the wheel when they're transformed, which is cool.
Like, even if the whole Krim in Shinosuke's human body thing isn't something that is done anymore, I have no idea if it will or won't, since we've seen him in the belt again toward the end of the episode. But even if that's not done, the fact that Type Trideron is a fusion between the two and sort of has these weird sort of double mechanics going on is something that I think is really cool. Though I do hope that he has control over Shinosuke's body sometime, because I think that'd be a pretty interesting...
Yeah, like, yes, I think that'd be cool to have him, like, if Shinosuke was in the belt. Like, he's the one with the emoticon face? Like, I think it would be cool if they could all go back and forth like that. Like, it's all kind of this one, like, you know, synergy thing. I don't know, I just... Regardless, it was a lot better done than stuff like Forze, where he was brought back for no reason.
The suit also looks a lot better in motion.
Yeah.
Though the helmet still bothers me.
Yeah, like, that's the only thing, is those tiny little googly eyes. But other than that, I dig the suit quite a bit. It's pretty neat. And the fight was pretty cool, and, you know, I was really surprised about, we talk about how it's like a different show every week, but I honestly, in my head, keep thinking of this as season two.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm surprised at how well the pacing is done, too, because, like, if this storyline right now is happening at the pacing part one of Drive was going, like, I would assume they would save the final fight with 001 for the finale. And, like, I'm surprised that we already destroyed him and we're going to do the other stuff with, you know, Sandman being his uncle's actual killer, the dad's actual killer, next week. So, like, I'm, like, pleasantly surprised that they moved things along quickly, and now there's still a chunk of show where I'm not sure what's going to happen. Because I remember a while back I was wondering what was going to happen after Chase, since he had been the core storyline of the series for so long. And they're like, oh, hey, dad's. but I'm pleasantly surprised about that turn it took with the pacing. It's very well done. One at a time, guys.
I was going to give George a chance to talk because I just started steamrolling everyone.
I don't know. I I agree. Steamroll everyone. I don't have much to say. I really liked it.
Glad we had you on.
Okay, Kevin.
Sometimes I forget that I'm not just listening.
That's actually really funny.
I could be live tweeting right now, and I don't even know.
I still want the director's commentary live tweet of, this scene was particularly challenging because I fell off my bed, and then a spider attacked me, and then we started making penal jokes. Penal jokes? I meant to say penis Beetleborg jokes, and then penal came out. Okay, before we get dirty. Also, it was revealed that Mach was a double agent this whole time.
Oh, that was what I wanted to bring up.
And he's got immunities.
It bugged me.
That he had immunity?
Yeah.
Because him and Driver are actually brothers, and they're all triplets.
He didn't even win the immunity idol. Sorry. Bringing bad Survivor jokes. He is a character that I will never in a million years understand. As much as I can praise the show for what it's doing right now and being incredibly entertaining and fun to watch, I don't know why they went that route with Mach. I mean, we make fun of him all the time. He came in with like his fucking jerk-off driver and throwing confetti everywhere.
I feel like they don't know what to do with him. It's like kind of like Beast all over again, except he gets more screen time, where we actually get to see that they don't know what to do with him.
That's true.
Like, I don't know. Part of me does kind of like that he had immunity just for the fact that it's not like Drive is the chosen one, and his lineage is chosen.
Apparently there's a lot of people that have immunity, and I'd like to know why. I'm sure they'll tell us eventually.
But
it's probably like blood type or something stupid.
And the thing is, he said he wanted to do it so he could steal the tablet, and there's just so many opportunities to do that. Like, when he first saw the tablet, he could have been like, okay, I'll work for it. Steals the tablet, just runs. Like, he could have stolen it right then. And when Chase broke in to spray him with memory juice, what was the point of that? What was the point of breaking in when he knew that Chase could find him in 5 minutes? Like, not Chase, sorry. Mach took on Chase's role of following people. Mach finds Chase every 5 minutes. All he had to do was wait for Mach to show up in front of his face again and then just spray him. Like, there was no point in him breaking in other than getting caught.
Additionally, he broke into their main base.
Yeah.
He broke into a place with Heart, Brain, and Freeze all in the same place. Was Medic there? I don't remember.
Arnold Schwarzenegger really was there, I told you.
So, like, all four of the biggest roid mutes, all in one place, he breaks in to try to spray juice in Ghostface.
Like, he could have done that any time when he tried to attack. Like, seriously, this dude attacks, like, all the time. So, it would have been way easier.
So, well, I'm glad the story's over, and Go apparently doesn't hate Chase anymore.
Yeah.
For the most part. It's like, oh, I realize that you are a good Kamen Rider.
Well, that's sorry, funny, bro. Too. That's another good example of, like, Chase just sort of being the only one that kind of has the right idea about how to be a Kamen Rider. I guess it's probably because he was a robot programmed to be a Kamen Rider.
Chase is like, all I know is justice.
Well, I'm just waiting for Chase to come up to Tamari and, what's Mach's real name?
Go.
Oh, yeah. He comes up to him and he's just like, bro, our real mission is to protect Ventara. Don't you know? When Steven Lunsford said, what is a Kamen Rider? He said, we're the defenders of Ventara. Matt Mullen said it. I was programmed by Matt Mullins. I was sent from the future by Matt Mullins. But I just think that's kind of funny that, like, Go and Drive are constantly being reprimanded by Chase, who just kind of knows what he's doing in a lot of respects. Chase is just kind of like support right now.
Yeah.
He had his time in his 30 episodes of storyline.
His 30 episodes of chasing Shinosuke around. That's all he fucking did.
Like, they shut the show.
Library, fuck you.
Libraries are the worst places on earth.
He's like, just walks to the library, gun.
The show's called Kamen Rider Drive, but I didn't realize that the first 30 episodes was going to be about Proto Drive.
And technically, the later episodes have been all about go, in a sense.
Yeah. So, what was on the iPad again? Like, the new Angry Birds? Like, what is that?
Like, what? Pictures of the new Angry Birds movie.
All of his ranges were S-ranked, so he was like, I want it. I don't want to have to work for it.
The tablet is...
I had Roy Mude.
The tablet is either his... Prince? Like, it's not his dad. It's like, he didn't give, like, the never mind. That could have got really dirty.
Is it like Zetman, where the guy's dad was a head with spider legs or something? I still don't know how to feel about that show. Somebody tell me, it's been years.
His girlfriend turned into a fat mutant. His dad's consciousness, or like an AI replica or something, is in the tablet.
It's Cortana's brother, Cortino, I told you. It's Harrison Wells' failed attempt to create Barry's technology.
Show me the future, except they can only show like 20 minutes in the future. So like really
show funny. Me the future, it just shows you the next limited edition item on Taco Bell's menu. Damn it, that's not the one I like! Throws a tablet. But yeah, the AI in the tablet is his dad, or like some version of his dad or something. And that's why he wanted it, was because it was his dad and he could figure out like things about the Roid Mutes and shit or something. I don't know.
There's just so many better ways he could have gone about stealing it.
Yeah.
Like, he knew Brain had it. He could have called Chase and Drive Up and they could have freaking like ambushed him.
But dude, he's just a little pussy anyway. He could have just took it.
Just taken one of his handkerchiefs and said, I'll give you the handkerchief back if you give me the tablet. Done. Hostage negotiation. Why didn't that happen? This would have been so much easier.
Because Go didn't have the intel that the Brain really flips out about his handkerchiefs. That was pre-25. He didn't know what was going on.
Going on.
The rewrite might have gotten rid of that weakness for Brain. He might not care about handkerchiefs anymore.
The new, more sort of competent time.
It was retooled, but that doesn't make drive shit.
The retooling! In this case, it kind of was, though.
That's about the only way you can describe drive. Is a retool. It's not like...
It's a tune-up.
Oh no.
So this is my golden moment.
Yes, okay. The Roy Mutes too.
Oh yeah. God. It's true.
Guys, still can't get over that.
So that's our next.
This is our ultimate evolution. We're gonna copy Shoutmon.
Oh man. So next week we're going to find out who his real dad's killer is. It wasn't the overzealous robber, apparently.
God, that people action. Are speculating now that it was Nira. Like, the crazy cop guy.
I don't think it fan. Was, though.
I don't think it was, either. It
probably was now that we said that, though.
Probably. There was a fairly solid argument, but I don't know. Like, the argument was the fact that, like, Nero was close to Mikage or Freeze, or it was called Freeze. And then, like, Freeze kicked him out, and so he had to, like, get away to take down Freeze, because he's the only one that knew the truth. And so he got close with the SVU to take down Freeze so that his secret would still be a secret or something. I don't know. It's a plausible thing, but... I don't buy it completely.
I would say I can't imagine like that they would play him as such an overly comedic goofball, but that does seem like something Drive would do. I mean, in the midst of some pretty emotional scenes about Drive's death, they still managed cutaway gags. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, I laughed really hard when they walked into the base and they had Tamari's body in Trideron, and he goes, "Holy moly, that's disrespectful." That cracked me up. Like, not just the holy moly part, but just the idea that they're like, dude, that's too far. You're fucking weekend at Bernie's him. You're just keeping his dead body in this car. Like, it cracked me up.
Dude, the first thing that came to my head was, like, the rotisserie chickens in the supermarket.
Oh, God.
We're cooking him.
Just going slow and with the green light.
They say if you leave the car doors closed, it gets really hot in there. so we thought maybe we could cook them.
Oh, God. Tried around chicken. About cannibalism.
I did try to run chicken. Well, not if it was Shinosuke, but...
Like Louisiana, an actual chicken. Fast!
But, yeah, mock stuff aside, though, it was a really good episode, and I'm looking forward to seeing where we go. Like, I'm really happy with how Drive turned around.
Like, it turned around in such a way that I don't even understand.
Made a U-turn.
Like, what? God damn it. Like, I say this every week, but they're so different now.
Like, yeah, it really is like a second season.
I mean, and that's apparently what, like, the people, like, writing the show and stuff are calling it is, like, the next saga for Drive. But, like, even Gaim had these sort of segmented sagas.
But this the tone remained the same.
It never felt like such a, like, a shift. Thank you. as much as Drive did, like, it did a complete donut.
Yeah,
I guess you could say it locked on.
Like, the only thing that wasn't even sudden about Gaim was just, like, when you look back at how different it was when they were dancing to the end, but that was so gradual and everything was natural. And
yeah.
It's just, I think it was one of those cases where they noticed something was going on. I can't imagine that it was their plan, just because even just the structure of the episodes was so week-to-week, case-by-case stuff amidst the chase stuff, and that really hasn't happened. I mean, we've had a couple, you know, case of the weeks, but it's always really closely tied to the plot. So I'm very happy about it, that it's actually given me one of the two Toku shows to enjoy and not feel so completely cynical about it looking into the rest of the year and into the next series. Mm-hmm. So like it gives me hope for next year that maybe we're not going back to this completely like played out formula. I mean, we're still using some of the formula type. Anyway, the same tropes, but I'm surprised that Drive is, well, you know, surprised me. Like, there's stuff I didn't see coming. Like, I didn't expect them to resolve all this shit this quickly. like, it's just, it's cool.
It really is.
I'm happy.
I just wanted to see how long it could go.
I killed it. I apologize.
There's a new Digimon item. Brian just retweeted it. What is it?
I don't. We won't know until 6/19.
Tell me now. I got to know.
They did the stupid thing where they're like, we're going to reveal something soon.
That's too many days. Can you make it less?
I haven't been on Twitter. I need to look.
Chris, tell us.
That's eight Chris days. What are their problem? It's obviously season one related, but.
Obviously. Anyway, now it's time for...
Ramble time.
Shield! I think that's all we have. Pokemon was an almost gym battle. It was one of those situations where they're like, look, we're going to do something fun. Nope. Just Chuck Testa with evil Clembot. It was another realistic mount. So, that was that.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid.
But I think Shield is pretty much the bulk of our stuff. And the skull. It's everything.
That's the only thing I'm aware of.
So I think this is like the first time we've ever talked about it on the show at all. Because I was the only one watching it for so long. And Brian's caught up. I think Kevin is catching up. But George has watched it all along. So we finally have enough to talk about. So, well, I know. Whoa. So, we'll essentially kind of just talk about the series overall. So, episode one analysis, go. No, I'm just kidding.
Bro, I don't even remember.
You saw it more recently than any of us.
Netflix, I'm going. Well, Agent Coulson got stabbed.
In the event.
He came back to
which was an indie movie that started this. But yeah, the series definitely started off slower. And after, like, the first bit, I wasn't a huge fan until... a little bit into it, but I thought it started getting... Everyone says, which is true, it really took off after Winter Soldier, but I started to get into it before that, like, right around when they started, like, revealing, like, how Coulson was alive when they did that crazy scene where, like, his brain was being touched, and he was like, please let me die. I'm like, holy shit, this is intense.
Yep, I love that. That was a great storyline. Okay, the pilot. It's called Pilot.
Whoa. Stupid name.
To track an unknown enemy, Agent Phil Coulson assembles a select group of agents from the worldwide law enforcement organization known as S.H.I.E.L.D.
And they hunted down Charles Gunn from Angel. but I remember the pilot, because I remember they fought against Mike Peterson.
Yep.
And Sky's like, I'm a hacker. Hack. And Ward's like, I'm the most boring person alive, but I won't be pretty soon.
Yeah.
Sky's actually the first person that hacked the drive driver.
Yeah, she totally, and she hacked the Forza driver as well. She got those toothpicks out, she pressed them buttons. She was a skilled hacker.
They're like, wait, you thought I was a computer hacker? No, I just hacked children's toys. Air quotes.
And okay. She cosplayed as Tony Stark.
What?
That's like one of the lines. She stood outside Stark Tower cosplaying as him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was like a line. I don't know why I remember that line, but I do.
I obviously don't remember it.
I remember
it's not every connected single pizza. Every single pizza. But yeah, like, the show really took off around that point, and, like, with Coulson's stuff, and then when Sky got shot, that shit was, like, really intense. Oh. Like, what was the episode? I can't remember the name of it. The one where they, like, they took a look at it from everybody's perspective. The train one. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Tracks?
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah, it was, like, Kids Next Door style. It was Tracks. It was T-R-A-C-K-S, I think.
And it was, like, they kept zooming back to, like, you know, everybody's perspective from a specific moment, which was really neat. And then, of course, the Winter Soldier stuff just, like, blew up the show. Like, honestly, Ward was, like, the most boring character on the show for me. And then I was like, holy crap, I did not see that coming at all.
I hated Ward before, and then I hated him completely for another reason after. For
two reasons, because he shot a dog. That is it. I'm like, you shoot a dog, you can't have a redemption arc. I'm sorry.
Never. Absolutely never.
But, like, it was such a surprise. I did not expect that shit at all. And that he was so, like, fucked up, too. He killed the guy from White Collar. He did not like White Collar at all. He's like, I wanted to work with Bryce Larkin. He was really mad about that.
I don't know if it was the fact that I binged it, but, like, there was never a moment where I was not into this show.
Yeah.
I think it probably helps binging. I feel like if it's one of those things, if I go back and rewatch it, it won't seem as bad now that I like the characters more. But it's like going week to week, I wasn't really sure where they were going. But that, I guess I should have known because I mentioned that like in our private conversations, but that's how Joss Whedon shows usually go, even though he's not doing much of it. But just the structure of that is they usually start off a bit slower and then they like really kick in. They just keep kicking you in the nuts.
Pick it up.
Oh, God.
Get on your feet.
Oh, God.
Get out and make it happen.
Now we're doing the Leslie Knope campaign? What is happening? there's so much to talk about. Like, I don't know where to start. Patton Oswalt was in it, like, a bunch of times. Not the benefactor. That's Teen Wolf. What was his name? The clairvoyant. There we go. The benefactor was a computer that was made by a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
The clairvoyant ended up being that guy. What's his name?
John Casey Ripoff.
Yeah, John Casey Ripoff. Lon Macy.
like, that's what I called him all the time. Not Lon Macy, but like every time I looked at him, I was like, you're trying really hard to be John Casey, but you're failing really hard, and I don't like you.
But his
and
name
then...
was-
He became evil, or was always evil, and I'm like, now I knew why I didn't like you.
But I didn't expect that either, just because they kept building up this clairvoyant as almost like this sort of mystical, like, shrouded mystery character, and they ended up just being a military dude with alien DNA in his head. And he was fucked up. It was like foreshadowing to Coulson being fucked up.
I was watching Breaking Bad at the time, like, with my whole family, and we totally were thinking that it was the guy in the with the bell. In the chair, it looked like
that was the clairvoyant. That was clearly the clairvoyant. he gave all his commands to Reyna through the bell and the dress. It's all connected by bells and dresses.
Say yes to the dress.
Exactly. See, what was I gonna say about?
Sorry.
Oh, I was thinking about the alien writing. I was thinking about that line from Coulson recently, where he said he's the only person I could talk to about my alien writing. That sounds really weird when I say it out loud. Somebody say something. I thought I'm going to be the only one talking.
I'm only good at discussions when other people talk for me.
Yeah.
So, like, if you bring something else or something up, I can go on. But as it stands, I'm at a standstill.
Okay.
Discussion good.
So let's talk about the Michael Scott Paper Company. Coulson and Fitz and Hunter. They were the Michael Scott Paper Company of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I love them all so much. I always liked Fitz, and I felt really bad for him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jared kind of treated him like a bee for a lot of the time.
I've been Fitz.
What the fuck happened?
I don't know.
What?
Did anybody hear that power down noise?
Yes, I did for sure.
Brian, did you hear it?
No.
You're not connected then. Maybe we both
Donna?
Died.
Cortana.
Where's the floods?
Gargita, floods? Where are you?
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, how Gemma was being a huge bee. Brian and I talked about that a little bit last week, where it's like, he risked his life for her, and then, like, he's struggling with his mental facilities now. And,
facilities?
I know I said that on purpose, mental faculties. And then she's like, well, I think it's best if I'm not here. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Everything, like, dropped out for a second.
Again?
Okay. Yeah.
We were just talking about Arrow Season 4, You're in the Future. Diggle has taken over as the Arrow. Oliver Queen left.
Oh, it's not Digfoot?
Roy He renamed it Digfoot because the Arrow name is no longer valid. Roy returned as Flipper. He's in a hooded dolphin costume and he just flips.
And then Thea's Free Willy now?
Yes! Thea actually just shoots little tiny arrows out of her belly button. It's a whole different show, really.
I'm still having a Digfoot.
They said he was going to suit up this year.
That's so good.
Oh.
Yes, please.
But yeah, Gemma was being a huge bee.
I hate her.
I really liked the way it did give Fitz this really good arc this year, though. Like, he did such a good job, like, the actor, with, like, the way he portrayed it. And I loved how we saw him progress throughout the year. Like, by the end of the year, he barely was, like, non-existent. And I really liked his relationship with Mac, even though he ended up being a huge racist. But, like, everybody at Real S.H.I.E.L.D. was, like, a huge racist. But I really liked that friendship. Like, I told Brian, everyone's like, I hope Jem and Fitz, I hope they reconnect. And I'm like, I want Mac and Fitz to make up after
Mac
everything.
Mac and Fitz are the best.
And like Mac was still pretty awesome. Go.
What?
Go.
Oh, okay. I like him and, Hunter a lot together.
Yeah, I liked all the new additions. Like, they were great. Bobby, Hunter, and Mac, like, they were just really great, and I'm glad they're all sticking around. What?
Xena was in it for, like, 4 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that Ron Swanson's wife?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ron Swanson's wife.
She died. she died, I say with a smile. But other than her leaving, I really liked the new additions. I think they really added a lot to it. They fit in well. That awkward moment when you realize Bobby was Jess from Supernatural, I did not realize that until like a month ago.
Oh my gosh!
Right? Can you believe
it? Oh my gosh!
She is Jess.
How did I not realize that?
She got burned alive by yellow eyes.
Oh my god!
Because I knew she looked familiar. I'm like, didn't I see you burn alive somewhere? I was talking to Brian, I'm just bringing up our old conversations, but I'm kind of glad they didn't spin off, just because, even though it would have been cool to see, like, a Mockingbird Hunter spin off, I like them being with the team for now.
Me too.
So I just really like all three of them. Especially, I think Hunter's probably my favorite, just because
Me too.
Usually, like, the most witty characters, and I kind of like how he was kind of this guy resistant to joining anything, and then it was like Coulson that made him want to actually be loyal to something when he got betrayed by everybody. And that whole storyline with all three of them working together was just fun. Like, I love when Fitz escapes, and he's like, "Is it okay if I just hang out with you guys?" And it was just really cool. And just talk about Real Shield for a second. Like, I thought that was kind of a neat twist. But I did not like Real Shield as people. Colonel Sanders was such a huge racist. Like, they're so racist to empowered people. It's like insane. They're like, "I don't go with you, filth." And then they like spit on Sky. I'm like, "What the hell are you doing?" And they're like, "Coulson, I respect you, but I hate your dirty DNA." Like, it was like so over the top. And like, it's really funny how they're such hypocrites where they're like, Nick Fury, like, had all his secrets, which they do kind of have a point, but at the same time, it was Nick Fury's secrets that kind of saved everyone, because if he didn't have a secret base and friends that were in on the secret, then, like, Winter Soldier's alliances wouldn't have happened. But regardless, they do have a point about his secrets, but then their solution to being a shield without secrets is to keep themselves secret from the other faction, from the other faction, and infiltrate it secretly, and then attack them. When they're not doing anything wrong.
No secrets.
Yeah, like, no secrets, but we're going to secretly infiltrate these people that are actually the good guys and then blow up their home. So they pretty much went about things very wrong. And, like, they did have their points. I mean, Coulson was chasing after this stuff, I mean, but it wasn't his fault that this stuff was in his head. And it was stuff that could potentially be a threat, because even if he hadn't have hunted down after the city and the Inhuman stuff, the Inhumans were out there.
Yeah.
And they were already doing stuff, and it's like not as if it wouldn't have happened. And that's what S.H.I.E.L.D. does, is they investigate all this stuff. And
exactly.
That's what he's doing. So it's like they had their points, but they had more against their points than they had for them. And then May, I love the term contact racism that you used for what she kind of joined up from.
I'm so proud of that.
Contact racism. Hey, what did you get yourself into?
It's the whole fandom.
Jumping back to Gemma,
I really want to talk about such a hater.
The character shift between, like, the end of season one and the start of season two, or rather when she finally appeared in season two, just seems so different to me.
Definitely.
Like, I mean, I understand time passed and everything, but, like, she just got this aura of bitchiness all of a sudden.
Oh my god, she was, like, unbearable.
I forgot that he had a hallucination, Jason Gemma, for a while. I forgot about that. You remember that? When he was talking to... Because, like, the first couple episodes made it seem like she was with him, and then you found out she was undercover at Hydra.
That was, like, a big reveal. I forgot. Yeah.
So much has happened that you forget about stuff like that. But, yeah, I completely agree about that. Like, especially with what a huge thing Fitz did, and that she was, you know, like that, and just... seems so shitty.
Which is awful, because I really liked her in season one.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, you talk pleasant, and you're fun to look at. And then she became a bitch, and I'm like, I really wish you were gone. And then she wasn't there, and then she was there, and she was bigger bitch, and then she was like, oh, contact racism. And then I'm just like, oh, nope, you're done.
And then they made a date, and a blob absorbed her. The end.
Then I laughed.
Yeah.
Honestly laughed.
Well, I feel bad for Fitz now, because he thinks they're going down to Carl Jr. to get the Numerica burger. You make it.
He comes back, and it's his fault.
Like, I'm assuming, obviously, she'll be back for season three, so I'm kind of hoping, like, this year, I think, at least with that story, allowed them to sort of branch out as individual characters as opposed to just Fitzsimmons as a unit. But I feel it was more to Fitz's benefit, and I hope that next year, not that, you know, Fitz gets shafted, but I hope that Gemma gets more of that, where I can see her as a character on her own and not part of a unit, but a character I like. Maybe the blob will help her.
Maybe the blob actually absorbs bitchiness. It swallows bitches.
It's the bitch blob. But, you know,
I think the blob is this thing, I can never remember the name of it from the comics, but...
Robin Williams is back.
Captain Marvel went into it, and she became, like, super duper ultra powerful because of it, and it, like, works with Kree DNA and Inhuman DNA and stuff, and it, like, overpowers you, or... gives you sentience that connects you to the Kree or some.
So are we gonna have a super Gemma?
I think we're gonna have super Gemma. I'm pretty sure.
Well, but she doesn't have any Kree DNA in her unless she popped an Omega 3 pill before she went in there.
They talked about how the weapon would only react in the presence of Inhuman DNA.
Oh, so maybe she does have it.
That's what I thought, was that she was Inhuman the whole time.
I think that'll be interesting considering how, like, you know, racist she was. Well, especially, like, when Fitz was trying to hide it, she's like, well, if we find any DNA in Skye, we'll just bleed her to death. I'm like, oh, shit, I better not tell anybody. I'm just going to go over here and hide Skye. but, yeah, so that, I had no knowledge about that.
Yeah, because it was solid, and then every time Gordon came into the room, every time he feeds into the room, it would start freaking out and turn to liquid.
And him and Rena talked about it. They said it only moves in the presence of Inhuman DNA. Because it's their ultimate weapon against them or some nonsense.
Nonsense. Every time I hear that word, it's like a reflex. Like, every time I say something, I feel like Dawn in that episode where she's talking to that football guy and she just goes, I feel like I have a disease or something. That's exactly me. Anyway. But speaking of before, when I'm talking about, like, forgetting things, so much happened, like, in the second half of the season. I feel really bad I forgot about Trip. Like, I was mad when he died, but then, like, I didn't remember him, like, at the end because so much happened.
We were watching it, and... Cat goes, why'd they kill him off? I said they only had budget for one black person. Mac one, sorry.
But I was really upset at the time because I really did like Trip, and I do kind of still wish he was around, but like that really just shows you how much happened between when Trip died and the season finale. Like, worlds of stuff happened between them.
For sure.
So that was sad when we died, and then it was sadder when I forgot about it.
I totally just blanked on him for a while, and I said, oh shit, Trip died.
You just start crying again. let's see, what else is there to talk about? Well, we got, Skye had a pretty huge year.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. I think I would say her best year, but it's only been 2 years. because Skye was one of the characters at the very beginning of the show I wasn't too huge on, but yeah. I started to like her near the end of season one, and this year I just really loved her a lot.
She was amazing.
There was something I just lost. Oh, I think it's interesting. I always saw a lot of people talking about in reviews and stuff how, with the fact that Jem and Gemma were sort of these smart hacker characters, and then she was also a hacker character, that it felt really weird to have three of them and how they were going to differentiate them. And they definitely did that in like a way for like all three of them. I mean, what's her name got absorbed by a blob, and you got Fitz, and you got Skye over here, who not only got trained as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but then became superpowered.
The day she became a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, S.H.I.E.L.D. died.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
But then they rebuilt it, secretly. And I really liked seeing her train as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and I liked that after she got powers, they didn't forget that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
In the episode where they, like, the original band got back together and infiltrated that base, that she had that really kick-ass fight scene. It was like all
one. I thought that was better than the one in Daredevil that people were going fucking crazy over.
I did not see what the big deal about that one was.
I don't know.
In general, but like he just kind of walked through walls a couple times.
Yeah, that was exactly.
Way more kick-ass.
I loved Skye's scene. That was great.
So, like, I love that
are you talking about the one where they broke in to save Lincoln and Mike?
Okay. The one that went right into Age of Ultron.
Okay,
yeah.
She, like, had that crazy fight scene. Like, right before that, she was with Ward, and she, like, knocked over two people with her vibration powers just to show off to Ward. But it was that same episode, and it was just, it was kick-ass. And I like that they never forgot that, and I also like that they showed that even with how good she got her, you know, agent skills, make it still take her with one arm.
Yep.
That was still pretty cool. And then her just getting her powers was really cool, because I love how it was handled with, like, how she didn't immediately have control of it, and, like, the fear behind it from everyone. And, I mean, you could argue it was a smidge rushed when she kind of got control of it, sort of off-screen at times when she was with the Inhumans, but I really didn't have a problem with it, because you get to see her training. And, like, there's only so many scenes you can see of her gaining control of it. And it's a good way of... Because they spent a fair amount of time on her being unsure of it, and it's a good way of not dragging it out.
And then she got the Zio music.
Wait, every what? Time,
when she was using her powers, it was going... Oh,
stronger than before. Go, Daisy. Oh. Her dad's just behind her singing. Damn it, stop embarrassing me, Dad.
Batman.
Oh my god, Orson was so cool in this season. The captain from How I Met Your Mother.
I loved him. There were so many people that didn't like him, and
what
I loved
are we talking about?
Her dad.
Okay.
I just started to make all these references to Desperate Housewives and How I Met Your Mother, so it happens.
Aye, aye, Captain.
He's like, ahoy.
Like, I can understand hating him for things he did, but to hate him as a character, I think is pretty wrong. Like, he was a really great character.
Yeah.
He was kind of like Amici. It's just a character that you love to hate.
Exactly.
Well, the thing
I just loved how crazy he'd get. He'd bop around like a fucking rabbit. It was so great.
When the serum actually worked and he kind of turned monstrous, I love the fact that he, like, started kind of hopping around like a gorilla when he was running. I'm like, you are great, sir. Good on you.
His acting range with it was great, but, like, what I liked about it is that when he was first introduced, he definitely leaned more towards, like, crazy villain, but he had these really good moments where he would kind of come back to sane, like when he was talking about his daughter.
Yeah.
But then, like, when the series progressed and you sort of found out that he was manipulated by Anya, whatever her name is here, Sierra.
Shying?
Yeah, Sierra. It's just one of the imprints. No, but, like, he was essentially manipulated, and that he was essentially this good guy, and that she used his love for her and for her daughter, for their daughter, to drive him into this was really kind of tragic. And sure, he did awful things, but I felt that as the season went on, they did a really good job of bringing it more forward, that at the core, he really was a good guy, and you felt really bad for him. And I felt that his sort of Tahiti wipe was earned. Like, he'd done a lot of bad things, but he didn't deserve it. Like, even though he really did do terrible things, I just don't feel he deserved it. I mean, he was really fucked up by what she did to him. And
yeah.
He was one of my favorite things about this season.
Me too. I really loved that arc. And the whole arc as a family with them, it was just great.
And I love that because he had this hatred for Coulson for so long, and I love that at the end they just allied and it wasn't so generic where he just tried to kill him. Like, at the end, they formed an understanding over it. What was great about it is that they formed an understanding when he was at his most irrational.
Exactly. It's like, I loved it.
So, that was a great part. Sky's mom, on the other hand, is just a huge bee from Apartment of Human. I did not expect that.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I'm like, oh, she's nice and found her daughter, yay. And then I'm like, holy crap, she's a bitch. She's even a bigger bitch than I originally thought.
She's the coldest bitch alive. Like, seriously. Like, I thought it was neat when we first found out about her. I'm like, oh, look, it's Anya from the 100. And then, I don't know why I didn't expect her to be alive eventually. I'm not sure why. But it was neat when she did. And then she fucking Walter White'd Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
And And then when she was, like, willing to kill Skye to take her youth, and, like, she was off the reservation, like, I can only imagine how excruciating it must have been to be literally ripped apart.
Yeah.
And feel all of it, and then put back together. And so she certainly has been through a lot. And like Skye's dad, she wasn't a bad person to begin with, but she definitely got way colder. Like, it's interesting that by what Whitehall did, essentially turned both of these good people into villains, but it's interesting to see that he held on to his humanity way more than she did. Well, I guess she only has inhumanity.
I have so many questions about the stitching up, though, because if Whitehall had her organs and blood inside of him, does that mean he could be alive?
I didn't even think about that. They could definitely use that if they wanted to.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, he's like a regular Whedonverse guy, you know? He could just show up.
Whedon cronies pop up all the time.
I know.
I'm still waiting for Amy Acker to show back up.
I know.
To be fair, I'm mostly waiting for her to show up in everything I watch. I'm like, wait, wasn't Amy Acker in this episode of just me after every show I watch?
Everybody needs a little Illyria.
Pretty much. I don't know. I lost my train of thought now. Something about whiskey. No. We just need more Whedonverse cronies in here. We need SMG to show up at some point. We need Giles.
Yes. She should be Captain Marvel. There's no other choices.
Giles needs to be some sort of, like, British S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. He's from the real, real S.H.I.E.L.D. It's from England. It's actually just the Watchers Council. It's actually
He's in Agent Carter.
Is he?
Yeah, he was on set last week.
Oh. Well, I better get caught up on that shit, then. Just for Giles.
You know, it's pretty good. It really forced a lot of things that I didn't like, but it was a good story, and I love period pieces, so it was good that way. It wasn't that exciting otherwise, but it was decent, you know, it was watch-worthy.
I want them to put it on Netflix so I can just binge it, and it seems to
be easy. Oh, it'll definitely be better that way.
Let's see, what else happened? I mean, Coulson went through a lot. He cured himself of crazy alien writings, and his hand got cut off, so he's going to become Darth Vader next season, confirmed.
I screamed.
When he got his arm chopped off?
Yes.
I did not expect that at all.
Oh, my God.
Well, it just sort of happened. At first, you kind of get hit with a little bit of mystery that, because he's got, like, the blood in him. It's like, well, maybe it doesn't affect him. But then he grabs it, and then he starts, like, turning rock or ash or whatever the fuck is actually happening there.
Misty.
And then all of a sudden, just like axe, poof, and then it's like cuts to commercial or something. I didn't watch with commercial, so I have no idea.
And Mac was like, "Fuck your racist hand! Drink your alien blood!" After he cut the hand out, he just kept bludgeoning it. He was just so racist. Drink from separate fountains, alien scum! Mac was like full on racist.
Time for a mega attack.
But that definitely caught me off guard. And I was really confused when Gordon, like, teleported into whatever the hell Fitz was holding. I thought he, like, stabbed Fitz or something.
I was like, no!
I'm like, oh, no. And then I'm like, wait, no, he's the one gasping. Wait, what happened? Oh, okay. You an idiot.
He just said science, Biosh. He can't die.
I love that so much.
Me too.
What is going on? Science, Biosh.
Oh, you science.
Just a bunch of fours written everywhere. And he is as funny it is to make fun of Max racism. He did have the awesome part where he's like, "I'm the guy that kills Gordon." I was like, "Fuck yeah, you are." the finale was just fantastic. As a finale,
it was amazing.
Everything was amazing. I had such a great time watching this show.
The
show's just got so fantastic, it's insane. And the fact that it's on the ground floor of introducing the Inhumans to the Marvel universe here is just really cool. Like, I didn't expect that. Like, it would have been cool if we didn't know about the movie, but because we know about the movie, regardless of if they use them or not, because they could easily, you know, say, "Oh, hey, there's another faction of Inhumans to do the movie." But regardless, the fact that they're allowing them to do that and that they were, like I said, at the ground floor of this is really neat. And I do hope that it somehow connects to it. Like, I don't know whether the show would still be going or not, but it would really be a huge payoff if it did connect to it.
Yeah, definitely. Because I'd love to see the inverse of what they do. Usually it's the movies affect the shows. I want to see, like, show characters in the movies or elements from the shows in the movies to kind of, like, pay off for the people who watch everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it'd be really neat if Sky was actually just main in the movie. But at the very least, that would be nice to have, like, a good amount of references to what happened. To, like,
yeah.
It would seem awkward to not, because it's, like, a major storyline ongoing to not acknowledge that it's already been a part of that universe for a while now. But still, it's just really neat.
Yeah.
And very right into the motivations of it, very X-Men-y with the whole, like, her Sierra's speech was very Magneto-esque before she killed Colonel Sanders.
It really was.
She didn't like KFC.
She doesn't. She's just a Popeyes
bitch. Oh, Los Pollos. She's got the...
Yeah, there we go. See?
Yeah.
She's got all the loyalty to Gus. It's all connected.
You guys confuse me.
Gus would be a good character on S.H.I.E.L.D.
He would be. And Mike. And just anybody. Just anybody with a good character on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Saul. That wouldn't even work.
The only thing that caught me off guard about the Inhumans was the fact that, like, the movie's so far off.
Yeah.
That I'm like, well, this is going to go for a while.
Well, I think that might be part of the reason they were allowed to do it.
Definitely.
Because they plan out pretty far in advance, though. Like, I don't remember. It was some interview about the tie-in for this year's movie, and they said that they knew about Age of Ultron's events when they were writing last season. So, like, around, like, Winter Soldier. So they know things way far in advance. So I imagine they've been planning Inhumans for quite some time. So that's why I think that they could very easily make the Inhumans movie disconnected from this in a lot of ways. But, I was definitely surprised by it after we got confirmation of the movie and we have, like, really far-off plans for movies there.
Well, that and the Inhumans are on the moon, probably.
Obviously, everyone knows that. I knew that, didn't you, Brian? Brian, we were talking about it earlier, like, those Inhumans are totally on the moon, just chilling with Xenon and Dustin.
Xenon and Dustin.
Cetus, Lepidus, George, you don't think we knew that?
But, like, there's a disconnect. I think that they could have, you know, elements of, like, you know, Zha Ying kind of talked about, you know, reporting back to people and stuff like that. You could do, like, the inverse of that, you know?
Yeah. Well, especially now since it looks like this one of the major storylines for next year is going to be recruiting new Inhumans either that already existed or that are going to exist from the, you know, fish oil.
I screamed at the top of my lungs. I was so excited.
So, like, that's going to be, like, new things. So it's not like... Right now, I mean, they could find factions that already exist, but so that's not like they're going to be finding already established people that we know of. So it's definitely open for them to do whatever movie and show wise. I just, part of the fun of the movies and the shows and everything about it is how they're connected in that way. So I can't imagine it won't come up. What year is it? 2019? The movie?
Yeah, 2019.
So that's like 4 years. The show could still be going by then.
For sure, I think it'll last probably maybe 7 or 8, you know.
So, no. It would certainly be a lot cooler if it's going by then. I mean, I don't imagine that the Inhumans is going to be the entire show from now on.
No.
But, right. I mean,
there's a lot more storylines to do.
Hydra didn't last that long.
Yeah.
But
once they call the Avengers in. The Avengers just need to solve all the problems. God, why aren't they just everyone?
They have Sky. She's basically an Avenger.
Yeah,
that's
see?
What they need.
And the guy from the Tomorrow People that can do lightning stuff.
Oh, yeah.
John.
Again.
Yeah. And he mentored under Lucifer. See, all connected.
And he's confirmed to be season regular, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Him and Matt.
Yeah,
Fuck yeah, man. But
also, speaking of the tie-ins, though, I really liked the tie-in for Ultron. Like,
yes.
I like that it doesn't always have to be, like, world-ending. Like, next year, Winter Soldier, Cap 3 could do, like, a larger scale thing like Cap 2 did, and I'm fine with it. But I like that this one didn't disrupt things too much, but it was meaningful. Like, when I was watching Ultron, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit, Fury? You don't set Coulson up with his helicarrier? And then, you know, you watch it, and it's like, oh...
Yeah,
that's really cool. So it's like Coulson was kind of there in spirit, and his hand before it died. So that was just a really neat little connection. That like, if you watch Shield, you would have just it would have been nothing. But it's like when you go back to rewatch it, it's so much more meaningful. It's really neat.
I don't know what the hell we'll do for Doctor Strange next year.
There's so many movies coming out next year.
Strange things will happen.
I was going to say probably something strange, but... well, because it might be a smaller thing, like the Thor one, which I didn't see Thor at the time. I only just recently saw it, and I don't even remember how it connected to it, because I was just so bored.
The big staff, the Berserker staff.
They were cleaning up the destruction.
The wreckage, the mess, yeah. Okay. That's like the only plot point. I don't know what it was. That movie could not hold my attention. Favorite part of the entire movie was when he hung Mjolnir on the coat rack. That pretty much says it.
I think that's my least favorite out of all the movies they've done.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Cause
it just was kind of boring to me.
I really didn't care about what was going on. It left because I actually really liked the first Thor movie. I thought it had a lot of heart. So
it's one of my favorites. I love... You know, it was like the movie that could, you know.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, sorry.
That's okay, go ahead. I was...
You know, no, you can go ahead.
But I was just going to say that, like, because I hadn't seen The Dark World until, like, a couple weeks before Ultron, so I don't know why, just one that I didn't see. And, like, I was rewatching Thor when it was on TV. I'm like, I really like this movie. I'm looking forward to watching the second one. And then I watched the second one, and I'm, like, sitting there, like, on Tumblr, like, trying to occupy myself. Like, it was kind of sad. Because everyone always makes fun of, like, a lot of the first phase movies saying, lol, they're just setting up for the Avengers. But they're really missing out on some pretty damn good movies. Thor 1
was... Yeah, exactly. Good. I love all the phase 1 movies.
So, bottom line is, screw people. First movie was really good.
I love all the movies.
Yep.
Just all movies ever made.
All movies. Every single fucking movie.
Alright, well, is there anything else left to say?
I don't know. Like, there probably is if, like, something gets brought up, but... I mean, it's fantastic, and I believe anyone that stopped watching it should watch it again.
And they're fucking idiots.
And anyone that doesn't is stupid.
And anyone that thinks the Avengers should just keep showing up is really dumb.
They're also stupid.
Not only would it be expensive, but the Avengers aren't the center of everything. There's other stories going on.
This is S.H.I.E.L.D.'s story. It's the story of Coulson and his little band of misfits. And
they're going to rename that next season. It's not going to be Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. It's just Coulson and his little band of misfits. Now he's got a bigger band.
They'll rename it to Coulson and Company.
Philco.
Where's my Michael Scott Paper Company opening of those three? I want it.
They were so good together.
It really was. It was great. The Coulson Shield Company.
I just really like Fitz.
This isn't a huge discussion-worthy moment, but I just want to mention how much I love when Coulson handed over the toolbox and he says, make sure, or Fury will be back for this, I'm sure. And he says, spoiler alert.
I loved it. I thought of you. He said it exactly like you do.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
It's good. Well, it's funny because people actually got upset about that. They're like, oh my god, I can't believe he spoiled that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Fury revealed himself alive in the movie he died in. Like, what? Spoiler alert for people that walked out halfway through Winter Soldier.
He was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the end of season one.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
What's wrong with people?
I don't know.
They didn't recognize him without the eye patch.
Got it.
Oh, you're someone different. Rachel, is that you? I don't, like, wait. Oh, man. People, people.
Like, no, it's no matter where we go, fandoms are just the worst.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just the...
And then you try to escape from one, and then it's like somebody from that one starts to go crazy and stupid about the other one that you're escaping to.
Which is just constantly... Being in a fandom is like life on the run. Except way scarier than an actual life on the run.
Sounds right. Huh. I can agree to that.
Okay.
Moral of the story is, don't be in a fandom, go be a criminal.
It doesn't go that far. Just don't talk to other people that like what you like. Just be a loner. Friends are overrated. I'm saying because I'm talking to friends. You don't need friends. Who needs these people?
I could do this show by myself.
I did it once and all I did was play the Animorphs theme. I failed. Alright, I think that really is it for Ramble Time topics because it's summer. But next week, there's a slight chance we'll be able to talk about iZombie. Brian, have you been keeping up with it? I probably should have asked you that.
Of course I am.
See, that was very truthful. So next week, there will for sure be an iZombie discussion.
Because
Brian is way caught up with it. Like, he's the only thing he's missing is the finale. So it's clear that he's been keeping up with it.
You know it. There's in no way 10 episodes on my DVR.
Not at all. There's just one. That zero is non-existent.
That reminds me, I need to go find a torrent.
It's really gotten good, though. I really enjoyed
it. I liked it when I watched it. It just shit happened. It was a lot money. Of let's watch Save Agents it. Of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So.
We've been the same way with Grey's Anatomy.
Why didn't you do that? I'm watching Buffy. Do you want to come over and hang out? But legitimate text conversation with a friend. Do you want to come over and hang out? I said, Buffy's on. And he said, are you serious? Yep. And I said, yes. That was a conversation that happened. I refused to go somewhere.
I had almost the same conversation. Do you want to go see Insidious 3? And I said, no. Parks and Rec is on Esquire Network. Bye. Conversation.
Oh, man. So good. Hashtag security bloods. Right. But Ramble Time, we'll have iZombie probably next week, maybe.
You're asking a lot.
But until then, look forward to filler until Riders, Rangers, and Teen Wolf. And like, I don't know. I think it comes back in 3 weeks or something. Okay. And Riders, Rangers, and Falling Skies. Finish the fight. It's like Halo, but with, you know, the second mass. Okay. Speaking of finishing fight... Now it's time for...
Final Thieves, MP3.
Nope. Facebook.
Nope. Oh, Facebook. Damn, you're a worse person.
I know, I brought it in because I knew we'd have an extra person. I thought we'd have 4 people to read, but then I thought in the 90% chance Kevin doesn't show up, at least we'd have 3 people, so that's why it's up early. Sorry, George, I recruited you for reading.
Oh, it's okay. It's well, I read a lot.
But... Let's think of it this way, Brian. There's only one more week after this of Facebook, and then we're done for a while, and then we can start the Twitter. The Twitter. We can get the Twitter like the Young.
I'm so tired.
Don't sound so thrilled, Brian.
Okay. I'm anything but.
Do the jingle. Jingle monkey.
Facebook question of whateverness.
That was pathetic.
You're pathetic.
That's just true. I know this. Okay, so this week, who's your favorite red scent I sent you?
I have no idea. My page is still loading.
Okay.
Mine is too.
Now buffering the snow.
It nailed it. Got it. Okay, so Anthony Ciano says Hiromu because he has an irrational fear of chickens, and he was one of the more tolerable Reds from the past 5 years.
Lee Shannon says Redbuster. That was a long one.
TKD Tigray says Redbuster since he was. The memorable one. scared of chickens and was transformed into a statue and used as a weapon. That's awesome. Red amazing. What the fuck? Red amazingness right there.
Can you imagine if Kevin was here, George would have got himself.
Oh, man!
Damn it, Kevin! The universe would have exploded. A time hole would have just ripped through the podcast. And like a third George would have appeared from the future. George from the Flash, or the George Point universe would have showed up to warn him not to do it. Would have been spectacular.
So this fuck says, it's for sure Arsenal's new gender identity, Speedy. I'm so happy that Roy got the procedures to reveal her true self. Congratulations, Thea. In reality, though, it's totally John, who later got the transition to become Casey. That's a proper surgery right there.
Before I read the crazy sucked out. Before I read the Casey part, I read it as like Jan from The Office. I'm like, why is she your favorite red?
Strike Rider. Rude.
For Jan, it's more like Strike Rider booze. Or Strike Rider. Man, that's another long one. Christian Sears says, Marv. The guy from Home Alone? Like, he wasn't even ready. Like, Marv, Sticky Bandits. It's an odd choice.
Jared Castiel says, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, a.k.a. Aka Red. What the fuck is Alton Remember?
Wait, you messed up Perry. You gave Perry Castiel's name.
Any Red, even Tommy, LOLs.
What happened to Perry? You
skipped Perry.
Oh, shit!
You're so excited about Cass.
Well, because... Oh, man.
You forgot three.
Well, Joshua Perry says, a.k.a. Red, also known as Red, he likes to stand on pirate ships and consider suicide.
Chris from RRR now, not HTU, she's crossed out, says, Hermo was a stern fight.
That's still my favorite Chenix typo ever.
I still like the steak and shake, like the vampire steak instead of a food steak.
I actually remember that one.
That's where Kendra the vampire also hangs out. Oh, doo-doo. Well, this is an in-the-minute podcast comment. Never happened. This is live shit. His name is Jeff. Oh, it's a live comedy. It's a drive-by fruity. Anyway, whoever's next.
Me?
Oh, yeah, it's you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jordan Baker.
Jordan Baker says, oh my god, obviously Tommy. Fuck yeah. Shift into turbo, motherfucker. Hashtag ZO shit. Hashtag fap to the ponytail. Okay, JDF fanboy. Ass munches aside and sticking to Toku, probably someone like Ryoga, since I really like Abba Ranger. And John from Geki Ranger was cool because fuck yeah for screaming shit in people's ears.
That's what we do every week.
Pretty much. Walkie Walkie the podcast.
Every episode with him was fuck yeah for tigers. I like yogurt. I like turtles. Do you want a frisbee? And because I need another hashtag to make this an inside joke in a Flero reference, hashtag my name is Jeff Flash. Hashtag you have failed these titties. That's why I did a voice.
That was like a Bane voice or something.
Now I'm turning into the guy from the that old boring stupid gangster movie.
Godfather?
Godfather!
Alan Brown says, the Tiger Kid, Jen Kondo from Geki Ranger. He's an excellent example of how to write a hyperactive man-child type Red Ranger without making them a complete and total moron, like a certain contemporary Red Ranger.
Don't pick on Tyler like that. Just because he doesn't know the difference between a necklace and a bracelet, it does not mean he should be judged like that.
He's just special. He can do wonders with a shovel. In fact, in the season mid-season premiere, he's gonna beat Fury to death with a shovel.
No, your dad was the shovel the whole time.
What?
I don't know.
Hashtag shovel dad. Devin Lee Dombowski says, I'd have to say King, a.k.a. Daigle, for a few reasons. One, he was the red of the first Sentai I watched. Always a great reason. And two, despite his hyper moments, he still had moments of leadership and bravery.
Well, he was brave.
Everyone on that show was. It was like a requirement.
Right. Kevin Phantom Bong.
Oh.
says, the only answer is Aqua Buster, and you're right.
There's our like for the segment.
It's like Brian's golden buzzer for America's Got Talent. Straight through to Vegas.
Oh, take my buzzer! That was off the chain! That was my clearly Melby impression.
It's shockingly accurate.
How do I even say this? Luke. Sorry, bro.
Leviathan!
Luke Leviathan, we'll go with that. Mine is Go On Red.
Calvin Kylie says Geki because he's fat now. Or Akagi from Akiba Ranger because he's basically the definition of all of us.
Not me.
I mean, quietly.
Chenick Stewart says Daigo because he makes people mad. Also, props to Hermu for being a stern fight.
Bitch, hashtag Chris already got to that
biggle
joke.
Biggle my diggle. Bitch, it's I can fig it.
I'm not gonna lie.
That bitch twice.
I'm not gonna lie, I kinda like Figgle My Diggle.
Yeah, it does sound good. No, I'm a walking
I'm gonna add that to the reserves. This aerosol dude says Sasuke from Kagranger, the only good Sasuke I know of. Hashtag Naruto joke. Hashtag deadbeat dad. Hashtag Ninja Mori Povich drama. Hashtag does anyone get this? Hashtag I'm so alone. Hashtag fetal position. Hashtag crying noise. Hashtag attempted self reassurance. Hashtag crying noise. It didn't even hashtag the last one.
Yeah, it didn't even take.
That's a failed hashtag crying noise.
Facebook gave up. Facebook was like, you're done. It cut you off.
That was the first Facebook answer with a storyline, and it was sad.
If it helps you, Arizal, I get the joke.
Gary M. Baker says, I would totally agree, because I added totally for no reason. I'm just really excited about this answer. I would agree with the smoking flower spray can hybrid thing. Hi, Arizal. He says hi back. But I haven't finished Cocker Ranger yet, so my answer is Bogan Red! Chifu is amazing. Second place is Magi Red. Blame Brian.
Why is it my fault?
I don't know. Maybe because you're doing Mystic Force, which is sort of related to Magi Ranger. It's all connected.
I did something probably at some point. I always do things.
Is there no more comments? Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Ricola! I don't know.
Are you going to get this last minute in? He submitted it in at the last minute. We ran to the finish line just for you, George.
Wait a minute. It isn't showing for me.
Refresh.
Oh, there we go. See? Jeff Moses says, have to go with King on this one.
I'm glad. That was the last minute submission. For me, it was set 6 minutes ago. For you, it was 6 minutes in, like, 3 days. But like, it's pretty great that it came in while we were reading it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That was funny. Good timing, Jeff. What is my favorite red?
I didn't mean to like
that. Red Sentai. Let's see. Okay, Sentai Red.
You can just say it in a different order.
Well, that's what the wiki page is called.
Red Sentai. Sentai Red.
Let's see, what have I watched? Let's see, Geki is stupid. The Jetman guy is stupid. Ryo wasn't bad from Die Ranger. He was okay. Sasuke was okay. I liked Sasuke.
Yeah.
Kenta was obnoxious. I don't remember anything about Gow Ranger.
He didn't even stab anybody, so it's like, whatever. He would have had to use the tiny crystal shaver. Crystal shaver? The crystal shaver. You shave yourself with the crystal shaver. It makes a little summoning noise every time you cut off some hair.
it actually summons your testicles out into the open.
Oh, God.
Wait, I have it right
there.
What?
You have the testicle?
The testicle actually goes in the shaver.
I love that you were both...
I don't have the crystal saber with me.
Mine's downstairs, but...
Yeah, mine... I thought it was
mine's
right
at my parents' house.
Go get it. You're close. I love that you both were, like, doing the... Trying to do the melody, like, do-do-do-do while laughing, so you're just like, do-do-do-do. It was great. And you're both doing it at the same time.
This is the story of my life. I'm going to go with Hiromu because Go Busters. Really, that's my only fucking reason. I don't need another reason than that. Fuck you.
Yep.
Hiromu's great.
I didn't even think of Go Busters when I wrote my totally not sarcastic answer. I change it. It's totally Hiromu.
He was a stern fight.
He was a stern fight.
Because everyone else said it, I'm gonna go with John because he gave the name Zozoa, and I thought it was funny. I liked John. he was obnoxious, but I honestly didn't find him as annoying as some of the other later annoying.
John was obnoxious done right.
Exactly.
And he actually was a character, and just these other ones are just such like this generic obnoxious archetype, and I really did like him. But special shout out to Hiromu and Chief, Master Chief, of course. He's the best Sentai leader.
What about Shiba Kaoru? Because she's a girl and sexism. We didn't mention any girls.
My favorite Sentai female red's actually from A-Squad. She's actually from Sentai. The A-Squad was actually just Sentai purists.
Wolzard Fire is my favorite Red Ranger.
Yeah.
Just a Japanese guy in a cave.
That's all I remember. What he looks like. He has my favorite suit ever.
Like, that's all I remember about a Japanese character. Is that he was Japanese.
And he had a cape.
Exactly. Alright. So, I don't know if it'll be next week or whenever, but we only have one more now this time for real, which is Six Rangers. And then we'll do the Twitter things. TTFN or whatever.
Hashtag TTMF.
Yeah, there we go.
This is like me live tweeting in real life.
You'll find out after the show. It's like a teaser for something no one else is ever going to get to hear. Until when I get to hear in a couple weeks. But now it's actually time for...
Final Thingies, MP3.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
Finally. Finally Jeez, made Brian, it.
Tell us how you real feel. Real feel? Wow.
I am the real feel.
Real feel is like real shield, but with feelings.
Hashtag feels! Oh my god, I got the feels! Everyone's so kawaii because of the feels!
You're right? Doing like your Max voice, and it kills you every time.
That's how they sound to me whenever they tweet about it.